studio, deep within the broadcasting multiplex of CBS Radio. This is the Rick Emerson Show.
You're damn straight at it. Why, hello. It's 11 minutes and 38 seconds after the hour of 11. What did I just say? That doesn't make any sense. Let's disregard the time check I just gave because it was ridiculously incorrect. Hi there. It's 1 minute and something after the hour of 11 in this, the month of May, the year of our Lord, 2007. Thank you for coming along, making a part of your listening day. We are live from the plushly appointed yet not overly ostentatious studios of AM 970. I've done it again. You know, this is why I can't try to read things while I'm speaking. Like, you ever do this? You ever been at work or you're at home or whatever? You're trying to type and then you're either listening to music or somebody's speaking in the next room and then you look up at the page and you, at some point, the sentence you were typing transmogrified into just sort of a transcript of whatever it was the person was saying to you out loud. So you're sitting there and you're trying to say, now is the time for all good men to come to the aid of their country. And meanwhile, your wife is in the other room saying, I need you to go to the store and get a loaf of bread, a quarter milk, and a stick of butter. And then you look up at the screen and what you have typed is, now is the time for all good men to go to the store and get a loaf of bread. That's what just happened right there. It was sort of an oral version of that. Hi, hello. We're here in beautiful downtown Portland, Oregon, broadcasting to you live from the City of Knives. This is the Rick Emerson radio program. If you'd like to be part of today's broadcast, you can pick up the phone and dial right now, even if you have nothing in particular to say. Rest assured that your non sequitur comments will not be screened out. Rest assured that no matter what you have to say, no matter how irrelevant, no matter how insignificant, in fact, no matter how tedious your call might appear to be on the surface, Scotty will put it through without hesitation. There will be no notation on the screen about the tedious nature of your observation. Your comments will not be labeled as dull or uninteresting or completely off topic in any way. You'll call. Scotty will say, hi, Rick Emerson Show, what do you have to say? And you'll say, I want to talk about this stuffed jar lid. I have these gherkins that I'm trying to eat, but the jar lid just doesn't want to come off. And I've been working at it for about an hour now. And I tried hitting the edge of the jar with a knife. I tried running under hot water. I got one of them little grippy, rubbery things, and that doesn't seem to work either. And so I was wondering if Rick Emerson has any experience with stuck jar lids. And Scotty will say, that's a great call, Dave. Let me put you on right now. And then he will put your call on the screen along with a notation saying, line 5 is really great. Pick it up now. And then he'll hit this button he's got over there called Flash On, which sounds like some sort of... Flash On sounds like the sort of activation command for some sort of effeminate superhero, kind of like a flame on kind of a thing. See, exactly right there. Thank you. He's just done it right now. He's just put a huge red flashing sign on my screen that says, stuck jar lid. Take this call now. Thank you. That's exactly how it happens. Thank you, Scotty. God bless you, Scotty J. Where would we be without you? We would be effed. All right. Yes, thank you. In any event, if you'd like to be part of today's program, telephonically speaking, as Commander USA of Groovy Movie fame used to say, in a super telepsychotronic sort of way, it is 503-733-2970, 503-733-2970, 503-733-2970, that is 503-B-by-70. If you'd like to email us, you can do that as well. It's rick@rickemerson.com, rick@rickemerson.com with your comments, your clarifications, your conventions, your 2 cents, your corrections, your what have you. Thank you for, see, you're just screwing with me now. Thanks. This call's coming in now. Scotty's just labeling them all. This call is awesome. Uh-huh. Thanks so much. It's 503-733-2970. It is Tuesday, and welcome to day 12. So, let's see, what do we have coming up? I got a huge, let's see, where did it go? Right over here. I guess I shouldn't say I have a huge and then just let it trail off. I have a huge pile of people that you should be glad you are not. Right here. The theme of this pile of news stories is people you should be glad you aren't. People to make you feel better about your own miserable existence. We'll get to that here in just a skosh. Later on, CNN radio correspondent Jim Roop is going to be joining us to talk about Phil Spector. Oh, really? I think Dennis Miller noted this morning that Phil Spector really ought to be on trial for stealing Leslie Stahl's hair. Because that hair, here's the thing about fake hair. You would think at least having like a full-on wig, which is what that is. I mean, the thing about guys going to prison who have wigs, I always want them to go to prison. It's like Paris Hilton. I always want them to go to prison just so I can see what the real, what do they call it in front? The pate? Whatever that thing is, your scalp. I just want to know what that looks like without the wig. That was the whole thing about Trent Lott. That was the whole thing about James Traficant. So I just want to know what Phil Spector looks like without that wig on there. Anyway, but you think having the wig, you would never have a bad hair day. You'd think that the wig would look the same every day. But it really doesn't. I remember Kim Morgan used to come on the show sometimes and she would have a wig. And some days the wig would look great. Some days wig looked a little mangy. Some days it was like... Kim Morgan, God love her. And she was on Ebert and Roper, I don't know, a few months back. 6 weeks ago, 7 weeks ago, something like that. She was the guest critic or whatever. But God love her. And she had, that woman had a large wig collection. She used to be the film critic for the show a few years back. I swear to God, though, sometimes she would come in, it was like the wig had been drugged behind a car. You know, like 5, 6, 7, 8 miles.
She's definitely a cool girl. She was very kooky.
No, she's great.
But I know the dirty wig thing, because I would have to run Lycus all day on Saturdays, and then she'd come in to do her show.
Very distinct. But sometimes it was a wig that looked like it had been dug out of the bottom of a swamp somewhere. All right. What else do we... Anyway, so Jim Roop's going to talk about Phil Spector today, whose wig is decaying away into some sort of half-lifing sludge. Lisa Goddard is going to join us to talk about the Democrats. She will answer the magical question, exactly how inept are they? We have... let's see, what else do we have here? What other questions will we answer today? How many women can breastfeed in one place at one time? Sarah Dillon will find out the answer to that later on. We continue our hunt for the second worst story in the history of the world today. We will also ask the question... How ethnically tolerant is the Rick Emerson audience? By the way, I would encourage you all to go to myspace.com/Rick Emerson and check out the fantastic photo of Sarah at a Klan rally that one of our listeners created.
Oh, my God. Are you kidding me?
It's genius. It's like two full-on Klansmen.
That is not funny. I missed one question.
And the best part is how you've got like a Red Bull and a cigarette and like a vodka extra lime or something.
Like that's
you,
mean.
It's you right between two Klansmen. This is because Sarah not once, not twice, but thrice. Failed sections of the A.
I failed it twice.
I'm sorry. It took you three times to pass it. That's what I meant to say.
Yeah.
The CBS radio diversity test yesterday. Have we all taken it? Tim took it. You took it. Scotty, you've taken the diversity test, right? The whatever. Yeah, that's right. Because you were blaming the fact that you missed that one question on the fact that you're a white man. Is it a culturally biased test, Scotty? Yes. All right. Thanks. All right, anyway, so people have had, and I didn't want to weigh in yesterday. I'm not even going to repeat that. That's just stupid. I am not going to... Scotty, I think we are the minorities now. Who is we? Who are you referring to? Yeah. Yeah, I look around, there's no white people anywhere. This whole place is bereft of white people. I have to walk miles and miles and miles to see a white person here, Scotty. Anyway, I didn't want to weigh in yesterday when she was taking the test because I did not wish to look as though I was influencing the outcome. Although in retrospect, perhaps it would have gone more smoothly had I weighed in and just told her what to say. Now that everybody on the program has taken the diversity test, we can go back and do an overview of it.
Did you print it out, or do you want me to?
Can you do that?
I'll try.
If you can print that out.
Let me see if I can still open the test.
All right, if you can see if your account still works.
Shut up.
If they haven't deleted your account for being a bigot.
I passed.
I know. Eventually. It's okay. Even George Wallace came around eventually. All right, it's 503-733-2970. We've got all of that coming up. Let's see. We have... I feel really guilty. I have all this guilt about this top five that Scotty created like a year ago that I haven't gotten to. So we'll get to that. Dennis Pitchenbarger will join us later on in the program. I still have this... I mean, this is old news, this Courtney Love thing, but there are a couple phrases in here that I want to seize on. So we'll read this Courtney Love story a bit later. Thanks, Scott. Now, there is just a huge passel of absolutely pointless and random calls here that we'll get in just a skosh. Fantastic. We'll get those in just a second. We are joined today, as are we always, by the lovely and talented Sarah X. Dillon. It's okay. I'm sure you have many friends that are black or otherwise non-white.
I actually grew up as a minority because I lived in Navy Town.
Here we go.
Seriously, really? I'm just saying. That's all I'm saying. Because
okay.
It was the Filipino community.
All right.
Yeah.
Were you beaten?
No.
Okay.
Oh, no, this girl named Lily Beth tried to kick my ass once.
Really?
Yeah. And then I gave her the chicken pox.
Okay. Fantastic. You showed her.
It was the best thing ever. Yeah, we were on the same basketball team together, and she was really mean to me.
It's everybody I've ever known. I'll put it this way. There's always a particular pattern. to these stories, and it's like if you talk to somebody who grew up in a neighborhood, like if you talk to like a white guy who grew up in a non-white neighborhood, they always have to put in at some point, you know, that there was like they always have to seize on some guy that beat them up when they were 9 years old. You know, so I had to go to a largely non-white school, and there was a guy named Pedro who punched me repeatedly in the face. It was, you know, never seizing on the fact that maybe you were just obnoxious. Maybe you were just a dick and you had it coming. Maybe nine-year-olds just punched. Yes, I know. Yes, I know.
No, Lily Beth just thought I liked her boyfriend and I didn't. He was really creepy.
Okay. All right.
And that's it.
You turned out okay. It's good to see that you're not bitter in any way. Good to see
no,
you.
No, it was out. It was the greatest. I ceased being angry about it as soon as she... I'm like, where's Lily Beth? And she didn't go to school because she had the chicken pox. And she had, like, you know, them for weeks.
Maybe she was scarred physically because of it. Maybe she's disfigured for life.
I'm afraid to open the CBS Corporation Eye on Essex thing again because that means I might have to take it again.
Did you already take the eye? I don't think I've taken that one. Is that the no payola one?
I thought that was this.
I don't even know.
Oh,
you know, there's
man.
Like a new test every
day. I think
day
I put
from
the
CBS.
Wrong thing.
Yeah, you're screwed.
Oh, great.
Tim Riley's working on the following stories for your edification today.
Well, it may become hot where you are, up to 80 degrees today. A Milwaukee man is accused of driving over his wife while she was innocently picking flowers in their yard. Paris Hilton rehires a fired publicist. The government wants us to believe that six militant Muslims intended to attack Fort Dix in New Jersey. We'll see how long before this story is debunked. And we have numerous celebrity engagements and baby makings to speak of.
Baby makings. Okay. Baby makings, never mind. That's sort of like a Ben Stiller thing. You want to get a towel. You got some baby makings there. You want to wipe that away. All right. 503-733-2970. By the way, if you'd like to find some people to hate, if you're looking for, that really is our job. That really is. That ought to have been what. That should have been one of the choices on the challenging CBS diversity test. That should have been one of the choices when it says, what is your role as a broadcaster? Because that was the question that threw all of us off. The final question was, I mean, I can't speak for everybody, but I know Sarah missed it, and I only got it right because I flat out guessed. But the final question on the test was, what is your role, or what is the best use of your power as a broadcaster? And we really just have the tiniest, stupidest amount of power anyway. But it was, you know, is it to challenge the audience's perception? Is it to make people think like DJs? Is it to, you know, should you avoid controversial subjects? Really, our job here is just to find people for you to hate every day. That's our job on the program. And if you read the New York Times, I would like to turn your attention to page... Is this today or is this Sunday? This is Sunday New York Times. Sunday's New York Times, the weddings and celebrations section of the New York Times from Sunday, page 19... I would like to turn your attention to Jennifer Cones and Gregory Rath. That is R-A-T-H-A. Gregory Rath and Jennifer Cones, who are really, 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 like, relentlessly white and chipper looking. And are sitting, they're posed, I don't even know where they are here. Oh, they're posed on Fifth Avenue. They're sitting on Fifth Avenue, leaning... Not driving, not doing anything, just leaning against a brand new Porsche. Right there. A brand new shiny Porsche, hugging each other and looking like they just stepped out of some sort of hideous Abercrombie catalog. Leaning against a Porsche right on Fifth Avenue, around which they must have had dozens of security guards to keep it from being... And that's probably a rental Porsche anyway. Man, lucky a photographer's there. You leave that unattended for 5 minutes, you come back, you just find a couple of hubcaps. Find a pile of scrap. All right. It's, there's some other things to get to, but I should get to these random pointless calls that Scotty's put through. Fantastic. Let me just take these in no particular order, and then we've got a few other things to get to here. Hi, Rick Emerson Show. How can I help you, random caller?
Well, speaking of Paris Hilton, have you heard the latest that she's now trying to get her fans to petition Schwarzenegger to get her pardoned?
Is that true? Are you making that up, or is that real?
No.
All right. You know what we didn't do? We didn't get the... Well, I'll see if Jim Roop has this today. We meant to get the contact information for that judge that sentenced her to jail because we were going to send him some sort of a thank you basket from the Rick Emerson Show.
Yeah, I'm just thinking, can you imagine what Arnold Schwarzenegger is going to think when he gets something like this? Although the last I heard is about 90% of the people that have been... sending things to this to the website, telling them throw ass in jail.
Yeah, no. Is there a particular website? Do you know?
I'm not really sure. All I know is that somewhere along the line, her people or some fan base, some fan club, has been circulating a petition to try and get Schwarzenegger to pardon her.
Boy, is there anything less meaningful these days than an online petition? Is there anything that carries less weight with anybody anywhere? You'd be like one of those idiot Buffy fans that sent chocolate bars to the WB or the whatever. They're like, don't cancel Angel. You know, yeah. I mean, just no one cares.
That's right.
There is nothing less powerful at this point than an electronic petition. It's just sad.
Here's the thing. You know, when I guess her scheduled date is something like the 5th of June.
Yes, it is. We're counting down to it.
I can swear this is what's going to happen. We're going to have another OJ. She's going to get in the vehicle and try and bail.
Oh, you see, here's how I know that that's not going to happen. This is how I know that that will not take place. Because I have done many things in my life that I regret, and I have broken any number of the Ten Commandments over and over again, and I'm a pretty terrible person. And so I know that God does not love me enough to make that the case. God doesn't care for me enough to put Paris Hilton on the run where she would be pursued by police and then hopefully beaten savagely by the side of the road. Really, that's really what I would root for in that case. I would hope that she would get in the car and lam it, as they used to say in the old gangster films, that the cops would catch her, she would resist, and then she would be savagely pummeled by the police using their batons right by the side of the road, right there in full view of any number of news helicopters who can do numerous close-up gruesome shots of her face as it's disfigured by their batons.
In L.A., you got like about 2 dozen of those things.
There are helicopters that do nothing but fly over L.A. all day long. That's all they do, I think, is they just hover, waiting for people to get in their car and speed away from some liquor store where they've just managed to rob the shopkeeper for $17.12.
Started Crenshaw and worked their way north.
Yeah, the guys getting on the freeway, and that you'd think, I mean, here's the other thing. We know that idiot, poor, stupid criminals, we know that they all own televisions because everybody in America owns a television. In fact, even if you were poor and dumb and a felon, you probably have a TV. You probably have 5 TVs. You probably stole several TVs. So you're sitting there. I don't understand who doesn't know how that car chase is going to end at this point. And I know that I've now deviated from Paris Hilton to car chase. But really, if you live in Los Angeles, especially, which is like the car chase capital of the world, and certainly the televised car chase capital of the world, I don't understand who gets in there. They never have an exit strategy. There's never any sort of plan for how it's going to resolve itself. I think they all figure it's going to end like Burt Lancaster and Kirk Douglas in Tough Guys. And they're going to make it all the way to the Mexican border and just plow across that white line. And once they get over there, the federales are not going to hand them back. That's never how it ends. It always ends with you dead-ending somewhere, some four-way stop where the cops have laid down those things that blow out your tires, and then they pull you out of the car and they crack your skull, you know? And then everybody changes the channel and goes back to Home Improvement reruns. So,
all right, there you go. That's Paul.
So, we'll find out that website so that you can beseech the judge to not overturn this. Hi, Rick Emerson Show. How can I assist you with your life, random caller?
Hello, Rick.
Hi.
Oh, hey. I'm Nate from Vancouver. I love you guys.
Thank you, sir. When you
just started up again.
Thank
after you.
You
got fired.
Thank
and,
you.
I know you've been around, and I'm quitting my job in a couple weeks with my deaf girlfriend and our glorious bastard son. And I'd like some advice on some weird stuff to see. We're driving around America.
Okay, what? Okay, let's stop and do this one by one. Okay, you live in Vancouver.
Yes.
Okay, you have a girlfriend and a son.
Yes.
Did you say your deaf girlfriend?
Yeah.
All right, just checking. And your son, and so how old is your son?
He's a year.
All right, and you've just quit your job.
About to. They don't know yet.
Okay, what kind of work do you do?
Oh, I work in the construction industry, and I drive around everywhere and measure stuff.
Okay. What does your girlfriend do? Is she employed?
Not currently. She's studying natural medicine, and she just takes care of the boy.
The boy. All right. Why are you quitting your job?
It's about time, and we just want to get away and drive around and see stuff and see what happens.
Okay. Do you have any money, sir?
Yeah, we have some money.
You put money in the bank?
In my drawer.
Is this a gag call?
No, this is serious. I don't have a bank account.
All right. Really? Are you not?
Yeah.
Now let's I want your solemn word as a Rick Emerson listener here that you are not winding us up, as the British say.
This is, I'm not winding you up.
So you don't now? Do you not believe in banks?
I don't like them because I owe some creditor crap, and I don't know what they're going to do if they're trying to take it.
Have you thought that maybe quitting your job right now is perhaps not the wisest move?
No, well, the bills are taken care of now. It's all taken care of before we leave. I just haven't had one since a couple of years now.
Are the bills taken care of because you don't have any money in the bank and so therefore creditors can't seize your money?
Exactly.
Yeah. Are they garnishing your wages?
No, it's not that bad.
Yeah. Okay. So you're quitting the job and then you're going to what? You just want to drive around the country randomly?
Yeah, well, we're going to a wedding in Wisconsin and then see where we go from there.
If I can ask this question, I don't mean to be gauche, but if I can bring up money, exactly, give me a ballpark figure of how much money you have, quote, in a drawer somewhere.
Oh, a few thousand.
Really? You know, that's really not going to last you very long. What kind of car do you have?
We're three white people driving a Subaru Forester around.
Okay. Have you thought about what you're going to do when the money runs out?
Yeah. Play music on a corner.
Are you're screwing with me? This is
no. I'm honest. This is honest. I've made money playing music on the streets.
How much money can you make? How much money can you make in a day playing on the street?
The most I've made is probably about $70 just playing on the street.
So if you do that, so really, if you were to do that every day, if you were to just assume that let's say it's $100, that's still, if you're doing that like 4 or 5 days a week, that's still like what $1,500, $1,600 a month at the absolute most.
Yeah.
Where are you going to be staying while you're traveling?
Oh, couchsurfing.com, in the car, camping.
This really seems like a terrible idea. This really seems like a phenomenally bad
couch
idea.
Couchsurfing with a one-year-old doesn't sound too fun.
Yeah, seriously, who... I mean, now, is couchsurfing, is that one of those places where you can just crash at some dude's house?
Well, yeah, that's not the intent. They let you shower, laundry if you need. It's just a big... nationwide thing.
Now, why would somebody... Now, I've never been to couchsurfing.com, but I've sussed out that it's a subscriber thing where you can just sort of find a place to stay. Why would somebody... And I'm not saying you're a bad guy. Why would somebody who doesn't know you let you and your girlfriend and your kid just hang out at their house?
I don't know. They just volunteered. It's kind of what goes around comes around thing, I'm guessing, is why they would put their house up.
Is your job the kind where you can just come back and you can just pick it back up again?
Probably. If I needed to.
Yeah. And so what is it you called up trying to figure out?
I just want some weird stuff for you or anyone to tell me what we should visit and what city it's in.
So you're going to be traveling across the country and you want to know, now do you have a tentative route planned out? You're going to Wisconsin, but I mean, how are you getting there?
Through Montana.
I don't think there's nothing to see in Montana. you know, this is actually kind of interesting. Now, is your mind set on this? This is a thing you're going to do?
Yeah, I just decided a few days ago.
All right, okay, I'll tell you what. Nate, I'm going to put you on hold. Don't go anywhere. Okay. Scotty's going to get your contact information.
Okay.
And at some point, the Rick Emerson, when are you planning on leaving?
June 2nd.
All right, well, there you go. So I'm going to put you on hold. Scotty's going to get your contact info, and the Rick Emerson audience will help you plan your route across the country, and then we'll check in with you from time to time.
Beautiful.
All right, hold on. Don't go anywhere. That's Nate. Scotty, if you talk to Nate, get his contact info. It's like a little reality program just falling into our lap. White guy, deaf girlfriend, one-year-old kid. They've got no money and nowhere to stay. Let's follow their adventures, shall we?
Foresters are really expensive.
Seriously.
They can just pawn the car. It's like $40,000.
This audience is really weird. Hi, Rick Emerson Show. Hello, how can I help you, random caller?
Hey, Rick.
Hi.
Hi, I love the show.
Thank you.
Everybody really asks.
Thank you, sir. Do you have some sort of, are you going to be traveling the country with somebody disabled?
No.
All right, just check.
I'm a responsible adult.
Okay. How can I help you, sir?
Well, hey, I just wanted to bring it to your attention. I don't know if you have heard about this or if the news department there at the illustrious CBS.
I don't know.
There's an effort to bring a aircraft carrier into Portland for permanent residence.
What do you mean for permanent? Like just to be docked permanently in the river?
Yes.
Now, it says here on the screen, Scotty is claiming on the screen that you wanted to talk about crosswalks.
Well, you know, I figured if I said something really dull and really plain Jane, you'd get me on the air.
So you lied, and this is really a first. Now, you have to understand this. I think this should become a regular segment. People calling about random garbage. Because usually people will call and they'll lie and say something really interesting to the screener, and then they get on and they want to talk about something pointless. Yeah. You actually called and said you wanted to talk about crosswalks on city streets, and now you're on the air talking about an aircraft carrier. All right, so Tim, have you heard anything about this, about how the city allegedly wants to get an aircraft carrier to dock here?
No, where would they put it?
Would this be down like where they dock the boats for the Rose Festival?
To my understanding, there's a couple different spots where they're planning on doing it, and this is a private effort, and they're planning on doing it without any tax dollars.
You can't just buy an aircraft carrier.
Well, it's been decommissioned by the Navy.
So where did you hear this? If it was on Lars, you can say so.
No. Well, it was KPAM.
I don't know what that is. KPAM, a radio station?
I usually spray it on pans before I cook.
All right. So where would they be putting the aircraft carrier?
Well, in the river.
All right. Thank you, sir.
The Willamette.
I understand. Yes, I sussed out that it would be in the water. But I'm saying, would that be right down? Boy, this is just a lot of work for just a tiny little nugget here. Would this be down by the park?
I'm not sure. That's why I'm not sure. But they're saying that this is an aircraft carrier that was in the first war, and it's still
fairly
functional.
The first war ever. The war against the dinosaurs. We'll look into it, sir.
All right.
Thank you.
Have a good day.
All right. I'm going to reconsider this whole random call at the beginning of the show thing. This seems to be a little bit of a mixed
That's
bag.
That's poorly.
We got the guy and his deaf girlfriend traveling the country. That really is like a reality show right there. That's fantastic. All right. Did you get that guy's information? Yeah, we know. We'll totally call that guy. I mean, if I can't dissuade him from doing... I mean, you know, whatever. I mean... At the beginning of that call, I wanted to be real judgmental about it and tell the guy, like, be responsible. I wanted to get all Lycus on him and be responsible. But I guess in retrospect, it's not like he's taking the kid out of school. The girlfriend's not working. He's quitting his job. He's got money. So, you know, whatever. I mean, I guess if you're going to do it, this is the time. I guess this is the... I guess this is the time to do it. So, all right, well, we'll talk to him later on. All right, 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. For those asking, no, I did not ride my bike today, so get off my back.
You missed out. It's beautiful.
I know, it was beautiful yesterday, too. And I always say, it's just that, you know, lately I've just been oversleeping every morning. I just don't know what that's about. And I've been going to bed at a... I go to bed and I just can't fall asleep. And I don't need to turn this into a whole thing about my sleep. It's because no one cares. But it's starting to get a little warm at night. I'm gonna have to hook up my air conditioner one of these days. It's starting to get a little warm at night, and so I'm just tossing and turning. And in the morning, I wake up, and it's just it's like 8-something, and I have no time to bicycle in. But screw it, because this is my last week before the bicycle challenge starts. Because the bicycling challenge starts Monday, and we will be posting a link to that at rickemerson.com later on today. So the bicycling challenge, Rick Emerson, biking for the retarded.
See, you know why you're sleeping in every day? It's because you're just being lazy and pudgy and not getting any exercise.
I guess
once you start riding your bike, you'll be a lot happier.
I suppose, but I guess my point is I have no choice come Monday, or I'm going to be taking the food out of the mouths of God's lesser children.
Mm-hmm.
So I got no choice. So this week, all it's done is ensure that I'm just going to have to, that I'm going to be driving every day this week. I'm just going to enjoy it while I can. Because starting next Monday, every day that I don't drive, it's like, because that, I mean, it's up to like $4,000. I don't know if you've seen that ticker.
Oh, man.
Because our listener, Seamus, and this is not a CBS radio promotion, I've been told to say like 100 times a day, our listener, Seamus, has put together, I think it's almost $4,000 in pledges right now. But the deal is they're going to deduct like $16 a day for every day I don't bicycle. So come Monday, I got no choice. I have to bicycle. Today, all I'm going to do is I'm going to drive the rest of this week, man. I'm going to wallow in my own crepulence just the rest of this week. So F everybody. That's my point. Tomorrow, Thursday, Friday, I might even get in my car and just drive around all Saturday and Sunday with no destination, just to enjoy it. And then starting Monday, I'll bicycle.
Okay.
All right. We'll take a break here. We'll come back. Lisa Goddard around the corner. Tim Riley coming up at the top of the hour for the AM 970 noon news hour. Later on, Jim Roop, Dennis Pitzenbarger, and more talk about aircraft carriers for no reason. It's the Rick Emerson Show. Back after this. Jack Emerson radio program. This email says, so Sarah gave chicken pox to a brown person. Was it on a blanket? That's funny. But it's funny because it's historically accurate. 503-733-2970. Didn't have
that
access to smallpox.
Not funny.
Genius. I'm looking at the calls here. Aircraft carrier, Wisconsin guy. Here's a great call. I got beaten up by Eskimos. Let's take that one, and then we'll talk to Lisa. Hi, hello, Rick Emerson Show.
Hey, everybody, how's it going?
What's up?
When I was a little kid growing up in Alaska, my dad, over the summer, I was like seven, he got a job renovating a school in an Eskimo village by the name of, of course, we stayed at the school where he was working.
Yeah.
And so I just kind of wandered around going through stuff like kids do, and I found all the stuff that the teachers commandeered from the kids. And one of the things that was taken was a pellet gun. So, of course, being a kid, I took the gun. I was wandering around the village, shooting cans, whatever. And one of the kids saw me with it, apparently.
Yes.
And later
yes.
that day, being the only white kid in the village, six or seven of them decided to gang up on me and beat the living tar out of me.
Yes. Well, you know, you did have the pellet gun, though. You were armed.
Well,
it seems like one guy with a pellet gun versus six guys with fists. That almost seems like a fair fight.
No, but and I hold no ill feelings towards the native people for it. But
that's mighty wide of you, sir.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you.
Later.
Thanks so much. Okay. It's good to know that he doesn't blame all Eskimos as a whole. That's mighty Christian of you. It's 503-7... What a strange day already. It's 503-733-2970. Ladies and gentlemen, let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show. From the Hill, CNN... You know, and the entire the time he's doing that, all I can think of is that guy from Heather's. We say goodbye to our little Eskimo. CNN Radio correspondent Lisa Goddard. Why, hello there.
Well, hello.
Hi there. She underlined a single word. Eskimo. What is the book that she underlined Eskimo in Heather?
Are you I cannot remember.
Lisa Goddard, are you a fan of the movie Heathers?
I don't know.
Are you a fan of the movie Heathers?
Oh, of course, yeah.
I can't remember what the hell the book is.
Fantastic.
It's Moby Dick. It's Moby Dick. What? That's exactly what it is. The answer doesn't lie in the MTV video games. There's only like four or five lines from that movie that I can actually do. Most of them not safe for air. I can do that one. I can do the Our Little Eskimo. I can do the I Love My Dead Gay Son. I can do that one.
That's a good one.
And I can do the Gently with a Chainsaw line, but that's not for little pitchers, as they say. How's life in B.C.? How are things?
Hey, okay, all right. You know, everyone's come off their sugar high from the Queen's visit.
Boy, you know...
Here, but otherwise...
I saw a photograph, sort of a screen capture, from that moment when Bush said that, you know, she came over here for our bicentennial in 1786. And with he said 1786, I believe, which is great because that's actually wrong, not just in terms of century, but it's actually wrong in terms of decade, too.
Hey, so I thought he really stopped at the 17, like he stopped the slide right there at 17.
Maybe.
In
80? Yeah, see, now I don't know. See, now you're making me doubt myself. You're filling Rick Emerson with insecurity. I am pretty sure that the story I read this morning said that he said 1786. And you know what? I'm just going to choose right now to believe that that's the case.
Yeah, it's possible.
It's funny. But, man, I saw the look on her face when he then tried to cover it up, like you described this yesterday, with the wink. And then, she gave me a look that, I can't do Bush's voice, but, you know, she gave me a look that a mother could give her son. The look on her face was the temperature of liquid nitrogen. I mean...
Fantastic.
Unbelievable. I mean, it was like liquid freeze from across the room.
He really was just waiting for, come on here, join me, Lizzie. Jump in and come on.
See, you shouldn't even say just give
none of it.
It just makes my skin crawl to even hear you say that jokingly because you can imagine in George Bush's head because he is just, I mean, God love him. He's just so inept, socially speaking. He just doesn't seem And this is not a, I mean, if people say that in person he's a good guy and that he is a nice person one-on-one, and I will give him the benefit of the doubt, if, you know, and say that I guess if you're hanging out with him, and as they always say, as that stupid poll says every time that an election is coming up, I guess if you were having a beer with him, he might be a nice guy. But he does seem to have this weird awkwardness and this sort of inability to deal with people in groups. He just seems so socially awkward.
You know, the White House would say he's very laid back and that he's not, you know, not a king-type ruler. But, yeah, I think most people in Washington, he walks that strange line of it. Just, he tries to compensate sometimes with being the yuckster. And it just...
I guess. I can't...
You know, it would have gone over great with Yeltsin. Yeltsin might have liked it, but... I think, actually, Vladimir Putin, I've got to say, it's interesting watching the two of them, because you know Putin, that's not so much his style, and you almost get the sense that he puts on a pretty good face. He'll kind of laugh a little bit, but inside, I think what his reaction may be closer to the one the Queen is portraying, which is just no reaction.
I have a comment and a question. My comment is that... You really could see in George Bush's head him toying with the idea for a second of trying to loosen her up by going over and just sort of shaking her by the shoulders.
Right.
Going, come on! You know, and which is, which would have been equal parts great and horrifying.
Queenie.
My second question is, and this is a complete non sequitur, is Vladimir Putin term limited? Is that how that works?
Yes, he is term limited. I think the election is actually next year as well.
And so is there a process, anything like ours? How do they select? I mean, I am an ugly American in that I don't even know, do they have parties over there? Do they have different...
They do. They have many more parties than we do, and they have a national election, which is similar to ours, though, for their president.
Okay. Well, let's talk about the Democratic leaders. They are wasting more of my time and money. They are taking me closer to death with every day that I breathe and really doing nothing to amuse me here, because all they're doing is preparing different versions now of this Iraq war funding bill. And let's be honest, no matter what they do, this one's going to be, I mean, really, unless their war funding bill is just page after page after page of, you know, declarations about the greatness and infallibility of George Bush, it's just going to get vetoed just like the last one, right?
Well, yeah, I think that what's going on right now is everyone's, you know, trying to negotiate through the media, essentially. And they've got to come up with something that the White House will accept, because it just doesn't seem like they have enough time to go through this veto again. So they've got to nail it this time between the two sides. So what the Democrats are offering now, or seeming to offer, at least the House is offering, the Senate's being a little, you guys see how that goes for you. The Senate's taking is standing back on this one so far. But the House is playing around with ideas of funding some of the money now, maybe $40 billion, maybe 50 or more, and then funding the rest later in the summer after we have, more idea of how things are going in Iraq. Basically, it's a very transparent attempt to have more accountability, and have the White House need to present more information to Congress. They want the White House to have to, I don't want to say beg for the money, but they want the White House to really be accountable to Congress. And if Congress gives all the money now that will take them through October, Democrats are fearful that they just won't have any kind of leverage with the White House at all on Iraq. And this is really the only leverage they have, so they're thinking of splitting it up. The White House, no big surprise, says that's a terrible idea. They aren't threatening to veto that kind of a bill yet, but they say that would cause problems with deployments, it would cause problems in planning, those kinds of things. And so that's where the talks are right now.
Well, here's a dumb question. So what kind of, and I really don't know the answer to this, what kind of benchmarks could the White House and the Congress possibly agree on? I mean, what, because a benchmark to me, by definition, seems to be something very finite and tangible and concrete, and I can't imagine what it would be. What is an example of a benchmark you think that everybody would accept?
See, you and everyone else is probably thinking of Office Space and the TPM report.
I'm going to get CPS, that. Yeah.
Yeah, you know, I'm judged on how many. At one point, someone put in one of my reviews, how many periodicals do you read a week? You know, those kinds of very finite benchmarks. And who knows if those really matter in our jobs, but we know what they are. This is completely different. These benchmarks that both the White House and Congress are talking about are surprisingly similar. They're very close to the same page, but they're also similarly vague. Things like Iraq must pass and must unify behind an oil-sharing law. And that's somewhat specific, but how comprehensive does that law need to be? Does it need to be the end-all, be-all law? Can it be a step in the direction of a final law? What does that mean? Also, there must be more political stability. There must be less violence on the ground. No one's quantifying that. No one's saying, well, we think the number of deaths need to go down by this, or there needs to be fewer attacks by that much. More vague goals that actually the White House and Congress seem to agree on, but the question is, what kind of penalty should be attached to not meeting those benchmarks? That's where there's the very large difference.
All right. Before we kind of go our separate ways today, just because I can't keep track of these things, when is the next debate, the next presidential debate coming up?
No, okay, I've got to check this because I like you also. It's a flurry of debates. The next one that I'm aware of actually are two CNN debates scheduled for New Hampshire June 3rd and 5th.
June 3rd.
I don't know of any more that are scheduled for May. There was at one point another one scheduled for, I think, South Carolina, but I don't think that that's happening anymore.
Did you see that story that came out today that Giuliani, I think it's been confirmed now that he donated to Planned Parenthood like five different times?
I did see that. And you know how I saw that, interestingly enough, is I saw that in a email from the Democratic National Committee.
Said oh,
that
yeah.
Big exclamation point.
Oh, I was saying, they try to run Giuliani, he is going to get his head handed to him. They are going to tie that around his neck and sink him to the bottom of the Potomac with that.
Well, but the question, see, and this is the question, I did a story on this on Saturday that actually didn't make air at all, but we did the story on this issue of all these candidates are running to the edges of their parties, the far right, far left, right now to try and get the nomination. And then how is that going to affect them when they have to get the rest of the country to try and vote for them next year after the nomination? Yeah, Giuliani is trying to convince those conservatives that he's on their side, but Democrats are trying to really knock out his knees from under him with this kind of, you supported Planned Parenthood. What's fascinating is for Democrats to be attacking anyone for supporting Planned Parenthood. So it's so transparent, the politics here, and it does almost seem in that kind of attack that Democrats are trying to bring down someone that they might think is a bigger threat, although they really are. Both sides are attacking every candidate on each side, but the front runners all the more.
I will say, and it's not like I'm some huge political historian, but it does seem like this is a different kind of election. It seems like already the 2008 election is being, as you said, by the Democrats trying to hang Giuliani with Planned Parenthood support. It does seem like the 2008 election is shaping up to be a little bit different than elections have been in the past.
I think that's right. And I think that it's just more, I think what some people have done behind the scenes before, it's just out in the open now. No one's pretending. Everyone is just throwing their bullets at point blank range right now.
And it seems like it's just from my vantage point, it seems like the Republicans are just really caught between. They've just got this real Hobson's choice where they've either got to go with Giuliani, who is unelectable because the evangelicals will just stay home and they will never, ever vote for him. Because, again, the pro-gay rights and pro-choice and divorce adulterer and so forth. Or they got to go with Mitt Romney, who really is the guy who seems to have, in a way, some of the most Republican bona fides, but that guy's just flat out unelectable for any number of other reasons. So,
but so many conservatives right now, when they go to sleep at night, they dream of Fred Thompson. They just look for the reruns, they look for Law and Order, and they just dream and hope. I wonder, perhaps some magazines could put out full-length posters of him that conservatives could put up.
Bop magazine posters of Fred Thompson.
And they can just say, please, Fred Thompson, run.
Inside, Fred Thompson tells you what a dream date with you would be like. All right, fantastic. We'll just go out on the Tiger Beat joke there. All right, Lisa Goddard on the Hill. Thank you, Lisa.
Hey, see you guys.
Lisa Goddard from CNN. I'm always glad when I can tie in Fred Thompson to Tiger Beat magazine. That's really why I'm paid the mediocre dollars here at CBS. It's for that ability right there. 503-733-2970. I will do one more, then we'll break. We'll come back with Tim Riley in the new news hour. Steve in the coup. Hello, sir.
Hey, what's up, Rick?
What do you got, brother?
I have what you might call in the radio business a callback.
Okay.
Yeah, it's about Tonya Harding.
Okay.
Yeah, I was talking to one of my neighbors the other day. I was actually bragging about your show, trying to get more listeners.
Thank you.
And, of course. And he told me this great story about how she, when he lived in Washougal, that he almost, maybe on purpose, who knows, because she's a crazy woman. But she almost ran him off the road. So he got a couple of buddies and went over and soaked her lawn in gasoline and set it on fire and then stuck her own garden hose in the top of her Jeep.
It's a sophisticated culture out there, isn't it?
Well, you know, it's Vancouver. We got to make the fun where we have it.
Vancouver. Vancouver's sort of the Florida of the Northwest, you know?
It's that giant sucking sound on the way to Seattle.
It really is. Excellent. That's a great show. Thank you, sir.
Take it easy, Rick.
Vancouver spreading the word, my friend. That's Steve. There you go. Excellent. It's 503-733-2970. Let's take a break here. We'll come back. Tim Riley in mere moments at the AM 970 noon news desk. Later on, CNN radio correspondent James Roop. Also, a list of people to be glad you are not. It's kind of a weird sentence structure there. Sorry about that. Back after this, the Rick Emerson Show. Don't go anywhere. Emerson Show live from Portland, 503-733-2970. Coming up later on, CNN radio correspondent James Roop, as well as the top five and a list of people to be glad you are not. Like is a three, Donamike is seven. Ladies and gentlemen, the real reason you are here today, he is your president, prophet, seer, and revelator.
Time for the Rick Emerson Noon News Hour from AM 970 Solid State Radio. And now, from the Ministry of Truth, this is Tim Riley.
Cops say a 66-year-old man intentionally ran over his wife in his SUV while she was outside picking flowers. This happened at 1:30 at the home on Southeast Riverway Lane, which is next to the Country Club in Milwaukee.
Part of the Country Club in Milwaukee?
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Mm-hmm.
Really?
The Country Club in Milwaukee, part of the Country Club set of Milwaukee.
What does a country club in Milwaukee consist of? Is that like the Eagles Lodge where they put up new wood paneling? Somebody steals the holes? I can't even... Really, honestly, what is the name? Does it have the name of the country club?
The Waverly Country Club.
Okay.
Let's hear from some of the members. We may be wrong about this.
Really? And I'm the first to admit my inaccuracies. If you are a member... that's really not true. But if you are a member of the Waverly Country Club in, I swear to God... Milwaukee. Please not to be calling us and telling us, maybe I've misjudged it. Maybe it's part of Milwaukee's new spark. All right. Fantastic.
So there you go. Anyway, according to police, the lady was outside her home picking flowers when her estranged husband drove straight into her with the SUV and ended up crashing into the saddle of the garage and nearly breaking through it. After wrecking the SUV, the cops said the husband got out of the vehicle and collapsed due to a pre-existing medical condition. They're not identifying the man or his wife.
Does it say why he did this? What was his boggle?
The pair were separated and going through a divorce. It was not the first time that the cops had been to the home. They responded to several domestic violence-related calls. And neighbors saying there's a lot of arguing.
So
murder charges are expected. And this guy's a scary-looking guy. Well, it looks like somebody from Milwaukee.
Does he look like somebody from the country club set?
I guess maybe the Milwaukee Country Club set.
It is all
the
relative.
Pictures on the K2 website if you want to go look.
I'm trying to think of that. What is that? I'm trying to think of that country club that I went to a few years ago. It must be, I'm just assuming it's Lake Oswego just because. When I was doing the syndicated thing, I told the story. It's the country club where I went and I met Tommy Two-Tone there. I walked in and my first thought was like, I don't belong here. And I guess that must have been in Lake Oswego.
Didn't feel like you belonged to Did you feel it was too good for you? Or?
Oh, no, absolutely. No, it's because when I was doing it for this network that was syndicating.
There he is.
The national show. Oh, he's an unpleasant-looking guy. That's like a Danny.
Maybe he's the president of the Waverly Country Club.
That's like a Danny DeVito-looking guy right there. Mm-hmm. That's like Tweedledum, age 90. No, when I was doing the syndicated show, they had the Christmas party at this country club, and I knew it was a bad idea when I got the invitation. It was like, no denim, proper attire required. And I wore denim anyway, just as a silent act of protest, as a silent act of class warfare. But I went to the country club with Laura, and we walk in, and really my first thought is like, oh, Jesus, I don't belong in this place. Like, it was way, way too nice for me. And just a bunch of white men standing everywhere you went. It was white guys with starchy shirts standing in a circle beaming information to each other on their handhelds. Like, I'll beam you my contact information, and then we can golf. All right, 503-733-2970. Let's see. This is, Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Hello.
Hi.
Hey, this is Matt.
Yes, it is.
Waverly is cheap for Daddy Warbucks, and that's about it.
It's what?
It's cheap for Daddy Warbucks. That's about it.
Is it actually, so it's an upscale, it's actually an upscale place?
Yeah, you can see it from the Selwood Bridge. Big golf course, big white building, lots of white folks,
but
making six figures.
But it's in Milwaukee.
But it's not in Milwaukee. It's right off of the river there.
Tim's news story clearly claimed. Wait, who's this? Is this from K2?
Yeah.
So it might be probably inaccurate. But the K2.
It's not in Milwaukee like methamphetamine Milwaukee. It's in Milwaukee like, hey, we're by the river Milwaukee.
I wasn't aware that it was bracketed out that way. I didn't know that it was segmented in such a fashion. So there's...
Yeah, we got to eat all the leftover food because we all worked in the back room, all the golf junkies. And, yeah.
Okay.
The hot leftovers were better food than I would typically get in my white trash desk.
Did anybody there ever, let's see, how do I put this? When you were serving the food, anybody there ever give the food the Tyler Durden treatment? If you know what I'm talking about?
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Yeah, that's just as well. All right, thank you, sir.
See ya.
That's Matt. All right, there you go. Well, it's another one. Hi, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Please be telling us about the Milwaukee Country Club.
The Milwaukee Country Club. Well, actually, my girlfriend's mom's been working there for about 10 years now, and yeah, like that last dude was talking about, I mean, it is a lot of really, really rich, really, really Caucasian people working there that actually go there. So, as well as work there. There was actually, no, I take that back, there was one black man that works there, so they are as more diverse than your fine
country. I was just going to say, there's several steps ahead of CBS Radio. How long has this country club been there? In other words, is this
hundreds of years, dude. It's been there for a long, long time.
So is it, I was going to ask if this is part of the gentrification of Milwaukee, or so is this that Milwaukee was once a nice area, and the country club is maybe the last bastion of the niceness?
Yeah,
of the town,
I think
just
that's
gone.
It. Like that other guy was saying, it's right on the river, and I just went there last year for their Christmas party or whatever, and I had to go pick me up a nice, fine suit from the local Mall 205 Target there, and wear my suit and tie out there because they would not allow anything other than a jacket, a tie, and nice shiny black shoes.
Was Mall 205 the same mall that you remember?
Hey, did you know they have a dress bar in there?
Thanks so much.
No problem.
Thank you, sir.
See ya.
All right. So they probably don't consider themselves in Milwaukee. If you were to ask the people, they probably have... If you were to ask the people at that country club, they probably have some fake city that they say they live in. They probably
probably Portland.
Yeah, exactly. Probably yeah. They don't self-identify as in Milwaukee.
Or Lake Milwaukee. Milwaukee, Oswego.
Genius. Here's Tim Riley, the Ministry of Truth.
And this just in, a federal grand jury has indicted a Tigard area cheerleading coach on sex charges relating to an incident that occurred aboard an airplane. After a cheerleading competition in Florida, that's a long flight home. So who knows what happened there.
Depending.
Let's see. Free Paris. That's a message in an online petition asking Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger to pardon the hotel heiress with a 45-day jail term. The petition said that Hilton provides hope for young people all over the U.S. and the world, provides beauty and excitement to people's mundane lives. It compares the pardon to President Gerald Ford's pardon of former President Richard Nixon. By this morning, nearly 1,000 people have signed on to the petition. Of course, she has to report to county jail June 5th for violating the terms of her probation.
The thing about this story is it's like, I'm not even going to bother asking. Like, because we don't broadcast the same, like, we're not in Los Angeles. And so I can't do, like, because, you know, like Tom, for example, like us, he could do a whole... You know, I want to hear from people who support Paris Hilton. If you think she should be, and he would probably get a fair number of people who feel that way because he broadcasts, because he's in L.A. But here, I'm not even going to bother with that because there's not going to be anybody that feels that way. Everybody here in Portland, we're more of a proletariat outlook here. Everybody here is just going to hope that she's beaten relentlessly while in lockup. So, F her. All right.
Meanwhile, L.A. City Attorney Rocky Delgadillo is defending his decision to require jail time for Paris. Hilton and her attorneys say her 45-day sentence is inappropriate because she was targeted because she's a celebrity. But Delgadillo says that's all nonsense.
We are very proud of the judge's ruling. We agree with it. We think justice was served. And everyone should know that in the city of Los Angeles, on my watch, everybody will be treated the same. No one is above the law.
And this is what? This is,
this is the
district attorney?
City attorney, Rocky Delgadillo.
All right.
Well, good for him. You know, because that's the guy, and again, I think the judges are, or whatever, they're appointed for life, but I think the city attorneys or whatever, they gotta,
well, I guess maybe they can't be. I guess they don't have to be elected, whatever. But all I'm saying is the popularity of everybody involved with is sticking Paris on the hole, is gonna skyrocket. They're gonna be, you know, they're gonna get edified. Everybody's gonna love them.
Meanwhile, Paris continues to be upset.
I feel that I was treated unfairly, and that this sentence is both cruel and unwarranted, and I don't deserve it.
Is that Paris Hilton speaking?
It is.
Mm-hmm.
Paris Hilton speaking.
You know, it occurs to me now that because I don't watch The Simple Life and never have that, I don't really know what she sounds like until just now.
She's some plain old ordinary girl.
Yeah, she doesn't sound quite as brainless as I would have thought, but no. All right. Well, there you go. So it's cruel and unusual, by which she means normal.
Meanwhile, the breaking news this morning, Elliot Mintz has confirmed that he is again representing the 26-year-old socialite who was ordered to report to county jail. Mintz, who's 62, won't elaborate on why he was reunited with Hilton. The publicist, whose clients included John Lennon, Bob Dylan, issued a statement saying that he and Hilton had parted ways, and that was Sunday night. Apparently, Hilton told the judge that Mintz informed her it was her right to drive, and her she didn't have a suspended license after all. So she blamed him for the whole thing and fired him, but rehired him.
Well, that's the whole thing, because that's, I think if you're a flack like that, I think part of the, it's sort of an implied part of your job that you got to take the fall. That's the deal.
Right.
That is just an understood condition of your employment. That's part of the job, is that you not only put out press statements, but if she gets caught with 15 pounds of heroin in the trunk, you've got to go, that's mine. I must have left it.
Reminder of the basics.
Exactly.
Use utensils to eat.
Totally. Rick, the Waverly Country Club is off Southeast 17th, just south of Selwood. The street on Waverly Drive is lined with small mansions, and the members represent old money. My ex used to waitress there, and a co-worker would have affairs with the crusty old men at the rich homes while the wives were shopping. Fantastic.
Waverly Country. I'm going to see how much it costs to join this.
You take a right at the Selwood Pioneer Cemetery, and you'll run right into it. The kids are on the lawn playing croquet, and they'll look at your vehicle like you don't belong there. And you don't, he says.
Now, Michael. The Google search claims in one article that it's in Portland, the second one in Milwaukee. See?
So that's clearly kind of making things up as they go along.
Okay, it says 1100 Southeast Waverly Drive, Portland, Oregon. This well-manicured course is built on flat terrain. There are some lateral water hazards that come into play in several holes. The signature hole is the number 16. The Willamette River flows behind it. Let's see here. The greens fees, $80 to $124. It is a private course. And please, no denim, college shirts, and Bermuda shorts are required.
See, don't you just instinctively hate people like that?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe not. You live in Tennisport. You might be fine with that.
Oh, it says here, immaculate greens, great fairways, and the light rough make this course great for any golfer.
Mm-hmm. Is there some sign like that on the Tannisborn city limits, though? No denim, please. Please be clean-shaven. Really? Is this true? Is this actually who this is, Scotty? On whatever line? This is your mailman? Okay. Let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show, Scotty J's mailman. Hi, Scotty J's mailman. What is your name, sir?
Max.
Hi, Max. How are you?
Good. I had a bit of a story about Waverly.
Yes.
We went, me and two friends went camping for 2 days and kind of drank too much. And when we got back into town, we decided to go to Waverly and play golf.
Uh-huh.
And we backed down a friend of mine's driveway and tore the door off his car. It came open and caught on the bank and tore it off the hinges. And we put it back on. And when we got to Waverly, he said, now remind me not to try to get out my door. And first thing he did, of course, was open the door, and it fell out into the parking lot.
And, that's fantastic.
Yeah, there were quite a few people.
Wait, how did the door become damaged in the first place? Because
we were backing down his driveway,
and he got caught on something. Because that's the same thing I did to my Sentra door a couple years ago. I Tommy Boyed it, totally just tore the door off.
Oh, yeah. But it was still attached by the power window cable.
Yeah. Okay.
And so when it fell out, you know, it was just dangling there.
So he's in the country club parking lot. He opens the door, and the door just falls off the car.
Yes.
Oh, that is like full-on National Lampoon humor right there. That's genius.
And then we went and played golf, which was a big mistake, and ran one of the golf carts into the woods. And we all three of us rode the golf cart back up to the clubhouse and just walked out, got back in the car, put the door on, and
put the door on.
Yeah.
I love, this is why I love this audience. I love stories that contain the phrase, got in the car and put the door back on. That's genius. Now, while you were there, now, were you dressed according to their dress code? Did anybody look at you askance? Did you get the stink eye?
Yeah, they all did. They all looked at us like that.
See, that's, there's a phrase, F you money. And F you money means having enough money that if anybody screws with you, you can just say F you. I really do wish to have enough money that I could just go to a place like that and just golf in my, I don't even golf, but I would learn, and I would just go golfing in my boxer shorts. Just so if anybody gave me crap, I could just tell them to eat it. Just tell them just to eat a big plate. You know what I mean? That's just eat a full bag of it. And just, that would just be so satisfying. You just drive there in like a 1972 Torino.
Yeah, this was a 1965 Skylark that was fully restored, or at least it was till the door came off.
Holy shit. Thank you.
All right.
I appreciate that. There you
we go. Didn't go over the attire for women yet.
No, we didn't.
So I guess it costs $50,000 to join.
Is that true? I was going to ask how much it actually costs to join.
Here's the attire for women shall consist of skirts, dresses, or pants with shirts or sweaters. Shorts are permissible on the golf course, providing they are no shorter than 4 inches above the knee. I guess they measure. And measured from the top of the knee. So there are people there with measuring tapes. Halters, tank tops, bare midriff garments, jogging shorts, or short skirts are not permissible. Once again, do not wear halters, tank tops, bare midriff garments, jogging shorts, or short shirts. Sleeveless tops must have a collar, crew neck or high neck, denim jeans of any color or jean styles with rivets are not suitable golf attire at the Waverly Country Club.
Why did we even start talking about this? What happened? What was the news story that even prompted this?
Oh, it was apparently in the some guy ran over his wife in that same neighborhood.
Is that? Oh, okay, and they lived right by the, Waverly. Bruce, former program director, Bruce Agler has noted that the Waverly Country Club is, in fact, where I went on that Christmas many years ago. So that Christmas party at the country club, I guess that was the one I went to. And it did seem very Tony.
Were you wearing jeans of any type?
I was.
Jeans of any type are not permitted on club property.
I did, in fact, wear jeans. They were my black jeans that Sarah made me get rid of at some point.
And after 3 o'clock, you must wear a coat and tie, collared shirt, with appropriate turtleneck sweater.
I didn't do that either.
Coat at all times on the main floor of the clubhouse.
I'm trying to remember what I wore. I wore black jeans. Sort of like some sort of patent leather, not patent leather, but you know, some like leather, you know, some like Skecher type shoes. I had black jeans and like, I think it was just like a black sweater. But I do remember kind of, it was sort of with equal parts sort of defiance and trepidation that I wore denim, because it said on the invitation, it said, please, no denim. And, you know, and things like that just make me feel, like, angry and inferior all at once. So I, at that point, I vowed that I would, in fact, one has to take his small satisfactions where one can get them. So I did wear denim.
And, ladies, swimsuits are not to be worn outside the pool area, and a cover-up is required to enter the club locale.
What a joyless group of
no
people.
No exposed flesh, please.
Please, no sex, please. We're British.
But spiked golf shoes aren't permitted in some... but no exposed flesh, if you please.
Just gotta walk around with spiked shoes everywhere.
Normal rules of etiquette relating to the wearing of hats shall apply in the clubhouse, whatever that might be.
I have no idea.
The normal rules of etiquette relating to the wearing of hats shall apply in the clubhouse.
You know,
have to find out exactly what those are.
I was going
to
make this observation. You know, George Carlin, we saw Carlin on Friday at the Schnitzer, and he had this he was talking about hats, and You know, he pointed out some stuff that I'd never... This is kind of what he does. This is one of the things that makes him a genius. He pointed out some things about hats that I'd never really thought about. And it really is true. You know, our hat rules just don't make any sense at all. Like, the idea of taking off your hat when you're indoors and taking... Because, like, you can't wear a hat when you're at church. But he pointed out some crap that I'd never thought of. But it does sort of make sense when you think about it. And it makes you wonder. Like, the fact that you're not supposed to wear... Like, if you're Catholic... And we're all fallen Catholics here, but you can't wear... Like, if you go to church, you have to take your hat off because you are in the presence of the Lord. And yet, if the Lord is everywhere, shouldn't you really have your hat off all the time? And then this is the other thing. Like, if you are Catholic, and this is totally... I remember this from going to church when I was just a mere slip of a youth. When you go to church, men had to take off their hats. Yet women had, you know, were supposed to cover their head. Like, women were supposed to wear, like, veils or scarves or whatever. And yet, if you're Jewish, women can't cover their heads, but, like, men have to. They have to wear a yarmulke. And the whole thing just doesn't make any sense. So there's some... One of those groups is completely wrong.
We were not allowed to wear hats at the dinner table.
See, now, I couldn't wear... Yeah, we couldn't wear hats at the dinner table. Couldn't wear them indoors at all. And yet, if you are of the Jewish faith, there's times when you... I think you're required to wear a hat. You're required to cover the top of your head. The whole thing is just completely, it's like they all just rolled some dice thousands of years ago, and you will wear hats indoors. And it's just, this doesn't make any sense at all. All right. So, yeah, so Waverly apparently is where I went. Yeah, screw that place. And that's where I met Tommy Two-Tone, or whatever his name is, Tommy Heath, that guy.
Was he wearing a hat?
No, he wasn't, but he looked old. He was old and embittered. And this was my great run-in with Tommy Heath of, you know, he did the 867-5309 song. He was like eating some canapé or whatever. He was like eating some shrimp. And he turned around. Because somebody had pointed him out to me. Somebody was like, that's the guy that sang that Jenny song. And I'm like, oh, I got to go meet him. And because that was right after I just sort of discovered that song and whatever. And I talk about that in Bigger Than Jesus, but I just sort of discovered that song. And so I walk out, and this is like in 2000, something like that. I mean, like 15, 17 years after that song was popular. And I walk up to him and I go, hey, you're that guy. I love that 867-5309 song. And he just kind of goes... Yeah, thanks. And she just sort of walks away. Oh, the other weird experience I had at that Christmas party was Casey Keating. And I don't know if you know who Casey Keating is. Casey Keating was the big voice guy on KOTK when we were on.
I remember him, yeah. He used to be on a lot of stations.
Yeah, he still is. He's on, like, if you hear, like, Citadel radio station. I think he does all the talk voices for Citadel. Let me see if I, I don't think I have any Casey Keating here. Let's see if I have. No.
That's top of the RID. Who was on there?
That's Roberta.
That's Roberta again.
No, I don't have
him. I don't think Casey was on any of the news things.
No, I don't have it. But he was the guy that said, you know, like, Rick Emerson, KOTK, that guy.
Yeah.
So after and he'd done the voice work on like three or four different talk stations that I've been at. So there I am at the Christmas party, and he apparently knew what I looked like from my glorious photographs in Talkers magazine with my long flowing blowy hair. He knew what I looked like, but I didn't know what he looked like. So I'm standing there at whatever at the buffet, and I'm eating some Gouda or whatever. Standing there doing whatever you do at a Christmas party, at a country club, trying to look like I belong. Standing there, and he walks up behind me, and behind me, I hear this voice go, Rick Emerson! And it was like, and it's the voice of KOTK. And that is the weirdest sensation, to meet a guy in person who does voice work. It's like when you meet Bob Brooks for the first time, it just completely weirds you out. You're totally not used to hearing that voice somewhere other than on the radio.
All right. Oh, he's on every TV commercial.
He does the solo flex, isn't that him?
Yeah, he's every commercial break on cable. He's on at least one commercial.
He does the thing for solo flex, and with that commercial we run for that place where you can rent like boats and ATVs and snowmobiles or whatever. He does that too, man. Yeah, and then you meet him in the hallway, or like you meet him in the kitchen. I mean, it sounds like a bad sort of stand-up comedy bit, but when you meet the voice guy in the kitchen, he's like, "I'd like some creamer for my coffee, please. Can you hand it to me?" And it just sort of freaks you out. Here is Tim Riley, the Ministry of Truth.
Well, George Michael has pleaded guilty to driving while unfit through drugs. That's what they call it there. A 43-year-old appeared in court today and admitted the offense. A further charge, unfit through drugs, was dropped by the Crown Prosecution Service. He was arrested in North London back on October 1st last year after motorists reported a car obstructing the road with traffic lights. I'm not sure which time this was, but there were several of them.
He said, I did something very stupid and I'm very ashamed about doing it. I'm not used to defending myself in a position where I'm ashamed of something. So he's not ashamed of anything he does, really.
And shouldn't he be very used to it by now?
Yeah.
Isn't it like the 50th time this has happened?
Uh-huh.
Okay.
And it is London, and people are very liberal about things there, so that's...
What, with their wild Carnaby Street fashions?
Yes.
All right.
Very much so.
Hi, Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Hello?
Hi.
Hi there. Hey, you ever hear about... Hi. Hey, you ever hear about Willie Nelson, what he did at a golf course down in Texas once?
Is this a true story?
This is a absolutely true story.
All right, go ahead.
He went to a golf course wearing his typical cut-off jean shorts and flip-flops.
He's all class.
And he is all class and then some. And, well, he got told he had to go home, even though his name is Willie Nelson. So he went and bought the golf course, kicked all the old crusty people off, and opened up a recording studio there.
This sounds like an urban legend.
It could be, but I like to believe it's true.
Let's all immediately now put it into the category in our heads marked true stuff, even if it's not. Let's all immediately recategorize it right now. Okay.
Great.
Okay.
I feel better now.
Thank you. Everybody immediately go pass that along as truth. Thank you, my friend.
No problem.
All right, there you go. All right, here's Tim Riley.
David Hasselhoff's lawyers are pointing fingers at the actor's ex-wife, Pamela Bach, after receiving and releasing that pretty disturbing video. During an appearance last night on the Larry King Show, attorney Mel Goldsmith claimed Bach was behind the release of the footage showing Hasselhoff's alcohol relapse, even though she denied it strongly.
We're absolutely certain who released the tape, and that is Pamela, and maybe her lawyer in concert with her. We have information that she was contacting reporters early Wednesday morning, indicating her availability later in that day to discuss the contents of the tape, when she claims to you today she didn't even know it existed.
Wow, that had like 6 edits. 15 seconds.
And that has become an... I forgot to ask Lisa Goddard about that today, if they're editing George Bush's. It has to be... We have to end this now. Well, who cares? First of all, what's her name? Pamela Bach?
Yeah. She hates him.
I can never get to... The list of people who hate David Hasselhoff is lengthy and growing larger by the day, I think. I can never keep any of the Bachs straight. There's Pamela Bach, Catherine Bach, and Barbara Bach. Let's go through them one at a time.
And Sebastian Bach.
Yes, and... It seems like as a professional humorist, I ought to have a little oop to your alley there. Bach. PDQ Bach. No, that's not funny. That's not funny to anybody but me.
Well, I guess the Bach stops here.
Stops! See? Why do you have to spike the ball like that? Why do you have to put it in my face that way? Okay, so Catherine
Bach.
I wanted to say Bach to the Future, but that's not even funny. That's just dumb.
Well, that's amusing.
Thanks. Thank you.
It's not dumb. It's amusing.
Thanks for your courtesy. Thanks for your courtesy chuckle there. I appreciate that.
No, it gave me a little chuckle.
Okay. So Catherine Bach was she Daisy Duke?
I'm not sure who Daisy Duke was. That's so long ago.
There was Catherine Bach, and then there's Barbara Bach, and that was Ringo Starr's wife, right?
Yeah.
But was she a Bond girl? There's a whole are the Bach girls related? Scotty, was Catherine Bach Daisy Duke? Is that who I'm thinking of there? Okay, Catherine, yeah, because Catherine Bach is Daisy Duke. Barbara Bach, I believe, was a Bond girl. I could be wrong about that. And I think she was married to Ringo Starr at some point after he divorced, what's her name, Marine Starr. And then Pamela Bach, is she an actress?
I guess she is, yes.
What has she been on? Would I know what Pamela Bach has been on?
I don't, but we can look it up.
All right, let's look it up. Let's look it up right now.
All right.
And in the meantime, she is insisting that she's not behind this. Did we ever find out who was even behind the Alec Baldwin thing? I mean, he's claiming it was Kim Basinger, but
she denied that it was her.
Right?
Probably.
All right, I'm looking this up right now.
IMDb, you can probably find it.
Let's see. Pamela Bach.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. Pamela Bach. These are the best photographs she could come up with.
Yeah.
This is a lot of airbrushing, and she still looks bad. Oh, she was, to no one's surprise, she was on Baywatch. Let's see. This is the best David Hasselhoff could do. She was on Baywatch. She apparently played Kay Morgan on Baywatch.
Maybe she was the last one left on the boat after everyone went out to rescue people.
She was on Viper. Oh, I'm sorry. She was on one episode of Viper.
No, that's good.
Let's see. She was on The Young and the... She was on The New Lassie. One episode.
Now, which New Lassie was this?
The episode was entitled Water Watchdog. Huh. It was the 1989. Were there many New Lassies?
I suppose every so often they bring out another one.
She was in a movie called Nudity Required.
Mm.
She was on Knight Rider. She was on a single episode of T.J. Hooker. Boy, she really is just... I mean, she really is like a fifth-tier celebrity. I mean, even by David Hasselhoff standards, even David Hasselhoff ought to be doing the better than this.
Right.
Well, whatever. Anyway.
I mean, had she been available, Phil Spector might have invited her over. She's about that same level.
Totally.
She would have been waiting on people at the House of Blues had she not been married to David Hasselhoff. So we've been on one episode of one show every 5 years.
I was a stand-in on Mantis. This Rick, your attempts at making, your joke-making attempts are just a debacle.
Oh, they're not that bad.
Debacle. All right, well, in any event, so let's recap. So Alec Baldwin's phone message is out there on the Internet. He blames Kim Basinger. Mm-hmm. She denies it. We haven't gotten to the bottom of that. David Hasselhoff's lawyer, well, so what? And so what if she did release it? So what? I think Likas really nailed it. He did a whole hour on this. 6 o'clock yesterday, Likas did a whole hour on this David Hasselhoff thing. And his take on it actually surprised me because he put it pretty concisely. If you don't want a videotape of you being an a-hole surfacing somewhere on the Internet, don't be an a-hole. Why don't you not be a drunken bastard? And this won't happen.
Well, the days of the studio controlling everything are gone.
Yeah, well, it used to be that they would just quash these stories, too.
Yeah, pay somebody off?
Because there would only be a couple outlets for these things. There would be...
You'd have to wait for the Inquirer.
Exactly.
That was the last big thing.
That was it.
Now they've gone legitimate.
And there would be, you know, there would be the Hedda Hoppers of the world and whoever the West Coast version of Hedda, or the East Coast version of Hedda Hopper was. And as you said, there was the Inquirer, and then there was the Globe and whatnot. But those were a lot... Those were a lot more easily controlled and quashed when something like this came out.
Because all newspapers were back in those days, before the Internet.
And now it's like those guys at TMZ, they know that their bread and butter is the fact that they can't be bought off. That's the deal. That's their whole, like Perez Hilton. Although Perez Hilton, I suspect, is bought off a little bit more than people would, you know, than he would like to admit. Yeah, but their whole image is based in this business of it not being able to be silenced or bribed or whatever. So there's nothing you can do. So why don't you not be a drunken a-hole, and then these things won't happen, David. Let's see. Ringo and Barbara Bach have been happily married since 1991. She was a Bond girl, by the way. All right, so there you go. Okay.
So anyway, Hasselhoff's attorney says the action took the initiative in the divorce for the sake of the children, especially the children.
David did file first because he recognized that it was not healthy for the children for them to continue to live in that household. Pamela has her own issues, which David would really not like to elaborate on in greater detail.
Yeah, he appears to be all about the children. He seems like a dad of the year candidate.
Okay, romance is in the air. You're on Hollywood. Here we go. Party of Five alumni Neve Campbell has tied the knot over the weekend. The actress's rep confirms to People magazine that Neve was married in a small ceremony in Malibu. 33-year-old Campbell wed 32-year-old British actor John Light.
She married a man?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Neve Campbell.
She seemed like a bit of a flannel wearer to me.
Well, that could be.
Okay, well, whatever.
I don't know about his background.
This
32-year-old British actor, John Light, after 6 years of dating, they say.
Well, love is a mysterious thing.
She was married to actor Jeff Colt. That sounds like a pornographic name to me. For 3 years, we're divorcing in 1998.
It really does. Jeff Colt, starring Jeff Colt, T.T. Boy, and Miles O'Toole in... Yeah, that's totally it. Jeff Colt would totally be... Jeff Colt is totally, you know, right alongside Peter North. Well done.
Then we have actor and rapper Nick Cannon, who has popped the question to his model girlfriend of 4 months. That is a long time. The 26-year-old proposed to 24-year-old Victoria's Secret model Solita Ebanks last night in Times Square with a 12-carat diamond ring shortly after leaving the Metropolitan Museum of Art star-studded Costume Institute gala. Solita, will you marry me? He asked. And apparently she agreed after seeing the ring. She changed me. I'm no longer a player. She changed everything, says Cannon to People magazine. Tori Spelling and her husband, Dean, have their reality show. It's been renewed for a second season. The Oxygen Channel's Tori and Dean in Love has followed the couple as they remodel and open the Southern California bed and breakfast.
You had to do something to some show where they remodel that face of hers. I mean, look, has she had any more surgery done? She had a lot of plastic surgery done on her. She had, like, her nose done, didn't she?
Yeah.
All right. Yeah, have they done anything about her teeth? And I know that I'm no looker, but I mean, it has to be asked. Have they done anything about that?
I don't believe so. I don't see anything in her file regarding her teeth.
jawline of hers. They've got to do something about that, because that's just the jawline is like, it's just like looking at an unbalanced painting. It's right where your eye goes every time. And let's see, it's, what am I, it's Andy.
Andy!
On the Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Thank you. Hey, I am live here at the Dress Barn in Mall 205, where today you can buy any two dresses and save $10 off.
Would there be a fashion show going on as we speak?
No, there's not. There's some guy in a wheelchair and some old woman.
Oh, that's the Miss Milwaukee pageant in progress.
well done, Tim Riley. Where are you? Are you in the Dress Barn?
I am in the Dress Barn now. I just walked in.
I hate you all.
Yeah, thank you so much.
You don't have it.
Were you there on business, sir? Were you there just so you could report?
I came here just to report, and there's 50% off on certain ticketed prices, according to the sign.
That's hard to believe.
And now I have a worker here looking at me like I'm insane, which is not much of a stretch, I guess.
Now, how do I put this? Now, when they say that it is a dress barn, looking around there, what would you say that the typical customer at the Dress Barn, I mean the ones who are not in wheelchairs, what would you say that they look like?
Members of the Waverly Country Club.
Probably, it's like this 65-year-old woman probably down here next to the guy with the wheelchair. But that's just one side of it. The other side looks very, some of it looks very Sarah-ish, Sarah KKK Dillon.
How do you mean?
Very stylish, very trendy, I guess, kind of Hawthornian.
Really? At the Dress Barn?
Yeah.
Maybe there's something about the Dress Barn that we don't know. Maybe something about the Dress Barn that we're not privy to.
Yeah, I'm sure there's several things about this place that we don't know and don't want to know. Yeah, like the dresses right in front are very cute. I wouldn't wear them, but that's just me.
All right. Thank you, sir. We appreciate your live report from the Dress Barn. How's that? Scotty wants to know how the mall traffic is today.
There is no mall traffic. There are zero people here. Nope, that's wrong. There's one woman walking down the mall, and that's it.
Is she wearing... Scotty? Is she wearing wrist and ankle weights that are, like, color-coordinated?
No, but she's wearing denim.
All right. Okay. Thank you, sir.
Bye.
That's Andy.
Andy!
Right there on the Rick Emerson. Okay, we should take a break here. We'll come back. It's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. We return with more of Tim Riley around the corner. It's the AM 970 Noon News Hour. Don't go anywhere.
Harry Ritchie Jewelers.
You're a jerk.
If you're shopping for teens and great skateboarding stores, you can't find it every other mall in town. Mall 205 has a wide variety of stores.
Back after this.
Come and see the new look of Mall 205. Oh, it's not the mall you remember, because Mall 205 has undergone a complete renovation, giving you a whole new shopping experience. While Mall 205 has added exciting new stores like Bed Bath & Beyond, it still has the wonderful, unique stores you can't find at every other mall in town. Mall 205 has a wide variety of stores you'll love, such as Famous Footwear, Harry Ritchie Jewelers, and the Dress Barn. If you're shopping for teens, you'll find great skateboarding gear from Fuel or Hot Trends, from Casual Choice. Or for the younger ones, shop at the Learning Palace and discover award-winning toys and games. And when all your shopping makes you hungry, Mall 205's new food court has a variety of flavors from around the world. So come and see the new look of Mall 205, where you'll find a whole new shopping experience. That's Mall 205 off I-205 in Southeast Washington.
Where's that cat litter? Fantastic. Yes, that's exactly what that is, Tim. Hey, the postal workers left me something to put my dog droppings in. How considerate of them. Who says my tax dollars don't do anything? Thanks so much. That Humanitas Award is within our grasp now. 503-733-2970. We're here with Tim Riley coming up. Later on, we got the mailman. Chris will be joining us. Scotty J, Sarah Dillon, Jim Roop. It's a cast of jillions. One might even say skillions. Hi, Rick Emerson Show. Who's this?
Hello?
Hi.
My name is Jeff.
Hi there. How can I help you, sir?
You were talking about voiceover guys. My dad's best friend growing up did national voiceovers. He did Superman voice on Super Friends.
All right, hold on. Let's stop right there. You're saying the Super Friends with the Hall of Justice and the bad animation and the supercomputer and the Aquaman and the Hawkman and the Hey and the whatnot?
And he was Superman.
No, that is the coolest thing I've ever... Is he dead?
He's dead. He was the Rate Bugs and the Keebler Elves, too.
When did he die?
About 2 years ago.
Oh, that sucks. I was, you know, and the real tragedy, of course, as always, is how it affects me, Rick Emerson. And what sucks now is that means I can't get him on the air and make him talk like Superman for my amusement.
Well, he would talk like Superman about 3 o'clock in the morning when he was drunk in my room. I remember waking up at about 12 or 13 hearing, up, up and away.
What was he referring to?
thank you for asking the question that I didn't want to ask, Tim Riley.
Well, we don't want to know.
Were his pants off when he said this, or?
No, they were on.
Okay. So this was not, there was nothing untoward
happening. He was probably wearing his tights.
No, it was basically just another way of my father torturing me.
Sounds like, I think we've inadvertently stumbled into a dark corner of your psyche, Jeff. So let me understand this. So where was this, here in Oregon? Where was this?
I grew up in Santa Fe, New Mexico. He's from Tulsa, Oklahoma.
Okay. So this guy, so he was a drinking pal of your dad's.
Yes.
And so you would be asleep. Every bad story starts this way, by the way. You would be asleep, and they'd be drinking in the other room. And so the guy who was the voice of Superman in the Super Friends cartoon, he would get drunk, and he would just come into your, he would just come into your room late at night and talk to you like Superman, but while drunk?
Yes.
And so what would he like pick you up, or would he just sort of fly around the room? What would he do?
He would usually get out one or two sentences, and they would laugh at each other so hysterically that they would go back to drinking, and I would go back to bed.
I have to say that that's a pretty great story, if only because of the sheer randomness of it. Did you did you ever make him, like, when he was sober, did you ever, like, make him say stuff as Superman for you? Like, were you a Super Friends fan?
Yes, I was, and of course I would try to get him to answer the phone when my friends called.
Oh, did he ever do it?
Yeah, he did.
Really? And so he'd answer. I don't even remember what Superman sounds like in the Super Friends, but he would answer and be like, hello, this is whatever. And, it, like, how would you have him answer the phone?
Usually just as Clark Kent sometimes.
That's pretty great. All right, excellent, fantastic. And then he died. But at least you've got the late night disturbing drunken memories, sir.
Yes, sir.
All right, thank you.
You're fantastic, Rick. Thank you.
I appreciate it, sir. You spread the word, my friend.
Bye bye.
All right, thank you. There you go. Excellent. If this was a cartoon, we'd do that little thing right now, where the little starburst would come at the camera to indicate a scene change. We ought to get one of those.
A what?
A transitional noise like they used on...
I like that.
On, you know where I'm going with this?
Yes, I do.
Okay. This is the next thing that the people... This is the next bit of work that we're going to make the audience do for us. It's like when we needed the log sounder last week, and somebody just found the log sound and sent it in.
But Scotty J's breathing a sigh of relief.
Yeah, this is another thing we're not going to pile onto the narrow, bony, Caucasian shoulders of Scotty J. Mm-hmm. All right, this is... You, and by you, I mean you, the Rick Emerson faithful. Please now, you must be finding for me the transitional noise from the Super Friends, and you know what I'm talking about. That little thing where the stars, the animated little stars, would fly at the camera, and it was a transitional device between scenes or sequences. Think of how great that'll be on this show, because it's either that or go back to using that A Current Affair sounder. That'll be great. Probably hundreds of times a day we need that. All right, excellent. Well done. Here's Tim Riley.
Meanwhile, all you kids will be happy to know that the killer singer Brendan Flowers is due to become a dad. The 25-year-old singer and his 25-year-old wife, Tana, are expecting a child together in July. They got married in 2005 in Hawaii in front of only his bandmates and their crew.
Well, where did they get married?
In Hawaii.
That's interesting. He's a Mormon, so it's strange that they would not be married. Well, they probably got married and then they will be sealed. Do the Mormons have this whole... This is not really a big selling point of being a Mormon, by the way. When you're a Mormon and you get married, you are married... Well, first you get the actual marriage, which is like for the state. Which is like, and that's the one that your Gentile friends can come to. So like if you have Mormon friends, like they can get married in like a regular church somewhere. So like, your non-LDS friends can come watch it. And then you get a sealing in the temple. And the sealing, that's S-E-A-L-I-N-G. The sealing is where you are married for, quote, time and eternity, which means like a billion years from now, you still won't
except
be...
if you're Maria Osmond.
No, no, no. That is true.
Then you just take off and leave your kids behind.
just abandon them on your way to the Larry King studios. Hi, I'm on the edge of mental collapse. Look at my teeth. When you're a Mormon, you can get married for time and eternity, which means that like 500 million years from now, your nagging, harpy shrew of a wife will still be, yelling at you in the afterlife. Here's Tim Riley.
Meanwhile, the daughter of the Eurythmics singer Annie Lennox said she was victimized by a group of MySpace party crashers.
Lennox's 16-year-old daughter, Lola, had sent an email to about 30 or so close friends advertising a party at her dad's house in North London, but officials say information about the party got spread on websites like MySpace, and before Lola knew it, more than 100 youngsters descended on the home, wrecking the place. A paper reports the get-together quickly got out of control because, well, they were teenagers. By the end of the night, graffiti had been scrawled on the walls, cigarette burns had ruined the carpets, and someone had deliberately flooded parts of the house. The party came to an end when neighbors called police. Friends and family say Lola has been grounded for an indefinite period.
Well, that's just stupid. If you're going to be throwing a party, especially if you're a celebrity, it seems like the last place you want to advertise it is MySpace, where everybody, you know, somebody tells somebody who tells somebody, and then there's like 700 guys showing up. I mean, even in high school, I mean, even in like 1989, 1990, my friends would throw parties, and that was before MySpace. There was always the core group of people who would show up at the party. And then there was their friends, but then it just becomes a 6 degrees of Kevin Bacon thing, where the next thing you know, there's like 1,000 people showing up, and no one knows who anybody is. Somebody's setting fire to the living room, and there's a pyramid the size of you know, the Sphinx being constructed in the backyard, and then the police are descending on the house and arresting everybody. So that just seems like a bad idea. Oh, wait, has somebody sent us the, all right, has somebody, is this the Super Friends? Here we go, Super Friends. Scene transition sound. All right, let's see if this actually plays here. Hold on a second. Let me save this to the desktop. This would be a transitional sound between Rick Emerson sequences. Oh, I guess I should turn up the volume. I guess that would actually help. Hold on a second. All right. So anyway, I said, let's do it. The room's already paid for. Here's Tim Riley. An embarrassing slip of the tongue by the president yesterday nearly placed the queen back in the 18th century. During a welcoming ceremony at the White House, Bush noted the queen's long history of dealing with the American government. He acknowledged her long tenure on the throne by pointing out she dined with 10 U.S. presidents. But then came the gaffe that most White House advisors had hoped that Bush could avoid.
After all, you dined with 10 U.S. presidents. You helped our nation celebrate its bicentennial in 1976.
Oh. I'm really dumb.
She gave me a look that only a mother could give a child.
Quite then.
You know, because
the queen barely cracked a smile because she doesn't have one.
Because those muscles are just absent from her face. Her skeletal, her musculoskeletal structure just doesn't allow for the upward tilting of her mouth. And by the way, George Bush, as a guy who has a wife, two daughters, and a mom, should know that really the way to a woman's heart is not to then compare her to a mother. I don't care if she's 180 years old, as the queen clearly is, and a reptile, as the queen probably
is. I can imagine the queen mothering something.
It's not so much the queen. It's not the. I can imagine her smothering something. It's not so much the queen mothering something. It's. How do I put this? The queen.
Imagine the act that made it possible.
Yes, it's the queen. What is that? What was that phrase we were using? What was that phrase we were using at the beginning? Baby leaving? What was that phrase I used at the beginning of the show?
I don't remember. That was a long time ago.
Baby something.
Creating?
No.
Baby breathing?
No, I had some. I had some phrase at
it
the top
covered.
Of
her.
Oh wait, no, it was.
That much.
We almost. Thank you. See, that's just charity is what that is. Oh, baby makings.
That's right.
Well, I was trying to buy time for you to find it wherever it might be, and I did. Thank you.
All right.
I can't imagine the queen involved in baby makings. That's all I'm gonna say.
No.
Now, when did the king die?
The king? The king died in the 1950s.
Oh, but that wasn't her husband. That was her dad.
Right.
Okay.
Her husband is not the king.
Her husband
is Prince Philip.
And is he the dad of Prince Charles?
Yes.
I've never seen Prince Philip. Why don't I know what he looks like?
He was standing right next to that Stepford wife who's married to the president yesterday.
He was standing next to Laura Bush?
Yes. He's a mean fellow.
Is he? Is he a bastard?
Yeah. If you go see the movie The Queen, you'll see all kinds of things about him.
All right. I'm going to put it on my Netflix queue. I will. I'll watch it in the immediate future.
Good.
Well, my whole thing, it's just weird that no one ever talks about him, though, because just a casual aficionado of pop culture.
Well, he's kind of like her Dick Cheney.
He's
been at it longer than Dick Cheney.
He's bloated and evil.
Mm-hmm.
I can picture Prince Charles. Obviously, I can picture Princess Diana, and I can picture I can conjure up an image of the Queen. I have no idea what the Prince looks like. None at all. Zero.
He's kind of a bald-headed, tall man. He kind of looks like an accountant.
All right. There you go. That's what the Prince looks like.
Yeah. Well, let's see what happens, says Tony Snow. After people plead for the end to the Iraqi wars, they do every day.
So caution today against the failure to complete the job in Iraq.
Please avoid the idea that Iraq is like Oz. And one day it's going to be black and white, and the next day you're going to wake up and it's color. It's a war.
No, it's black. It's going to stay black.
There's no white. There's nothing white left there.
Black with occasional splotches of bright red. He said the troop surge has not been fully implemented yet, so please be patient.
What we've always said is, let's see what happens.
We have.
Shouldn't we be trying to analyze the evidence and see what happens? And I think at this juncture,
the
security plan is still, it's not in its early stages, but I'd say it's in its middle stages.
Just to sit back, take some time, let things unravel a bit, see how they go. Well, Mother's Day is coming up this weekend, and no one knows more about mothers than Mario Lopez. He says his mother, Elvira, has given him tons of useful tips.
She's given me so many over the years, mainly relationship advice, both romantically, professionally.
This doesn't sound like Mario Lopez.
To what to do when I'm sick.
He's being thoughtful.
So she's covered a wide array of topics.
All right, now, maybe I'm not the Mario Lopez
aficionado.
Yeah, expert.
That some people are.
Claim to be. Is he putting on an accent in that soundbite? Or when I hear him talk other times,
what type of accent?
He's, you know,
an American accent?
No.
No.
No, you know, an accent that other kinds of, that, you know, a different accent.
What kind of accent?
Someone who might be from the Los Angeles area, perhaps.
Yes, he's trying to speak.
Yeah, that's... Are you trying to speak as though you are from the valley?
He does have a very Latin accent there, but it seems like whenever I see him elsewhere...
trying to please his mother.
Was this the guy... This is Mario Lopez, the guy who was on that hideous show with Dick Clark and Danny Bonaducci?
He was on Saved by the Bell.
He just sounded... He had no trace of an accent on those shows.
But you're not supposed to.
And now... You know, this one was the focus group. As soon as every time he talked, the dials just went down. He had no trace of an accent on that. What was that show? The Other Side? The Other Half?
The Other Half? The Other Side?
The Other Show lasted like one season.
We used to watch it every morning.
We did.
Back in the old days, we used to sit in cubicles.
Tim and I would sit around and have crumpets, watching The Other Half with Dick Clark. Mario Lopez had no trace of an accent. It was a very neutral American-type accent. But now, he sounds very Latin in that clip.
He's trying to please his mother for Mother's Day. He's
trying to please his mother, Elvira.
Yes, his mother, Elvira, for which he shares the best common sense tips that she has passed on to her son.
Being a gentleman, you know, being on time, taking care of his priorities, and being just a good human being.
This completely bland, uninteresting advice brought to you by Elvira, Mario Lopez's mother.
And this guy is not a good person. He was married for like a week and cheated on his wife like four times.
Well done, Mario. Yeah.
His mother set him up.
That's how Mom would want it.
So let's get Mario back one more time to see what his mother, Elvira, means to him.
She's very special, and she's not just a mom. She's a friend, and a very close one with Dad. And I'm blessed to have a great mom, and she's you know, super cool. So we still turn to each other for a lot of stuff, and we'll continue to do so.
You know, guys just say kind of just stuff like that so that other girls will find them hot. That's the whole thing. Guys just, that you put a microphone in front of a guy and he's just babbling about how much he loves his mother. That's just because he's trying to get laid by some girl that he knows is watching him on television. This email says, Rick, I went to Cleveland High School. No names to be mentioned, but there were two brothers in my grade back in the late 80s who hosted a party in their home where their parents were gone. By the end of the night, both brothers were plastered and unfortunately ended up in a locked closet. The house was looted. Furniture, electronics, you name it, it was all taken. Even sections of the carpet were gone. The brothers never hosted another party. David in Southeast, fantastic. That happened. Man, I got to tell you, that happened to a friend of mine. I was going to high school. Friend, the same thing. It's like people told people who told people who told people. And by the end of the night, like 90% of the people in the house were like guys you'd never seen, guys that didn't go to school with you, guys who looked like they were about 35 and all had a teardrop tattoo by their right eye. And the next thing you know, there was just like a small fire burning unattended in one of the bedrooms and getting guys taking the entertainment center and putting it on a flatbed truck out back. Those are the best of times. Oh, wait, here's somebody, something. Somebody sent me another transitional sound. Let's see. All right, round Tim Riley. It's
from My Favorite Martian.
No, you are incorrect. Guess again, sir.
Play it again.
Ladies and gentlemen. Does it sound familiar?
It's very familiar.
I'm not going to reveal what it is.
You'll have to... Darn it all to heck. I can't think of what this will be. I mean, I know what it is. I've heard it a million times.
You'll have to keep listening to find out. All right.
Ooh.
Oh, wait.
Listen to when.
You'll be able to listen.
Can you call me at 7:16 tomorrow morning?
Yes, exactly. No, on Thursday. I have to wait till Thursday, I'm afraid. Yes, that'll be revealed at 7:16 on Thursday. It's part of our Crazy Cash Dial to Win contest. And now, Tim Riley.
And I know what that is.
I'm just going to play it over and over again to bug you.
We'll call this a cheesy publicity stunt. But one cheesemaker's approach to bringing attention to an old food-making practice has become an odd fascination on the Internet. Since CheddarVision.tv debuted in December, the website offered a live broadcast of a large slab of cheddar cheese slowly maturing and has had 1.2 million hits. From a group of middle school students in Florida to a 32-year-old self-described cheese freak, increasingly moldy cheddar is cultivating cult status. Why not take a look? It weighs about 50 pounds. The cheese lies at an upper shelf of a dank storage barn about a 3-mile drive southeast of London. The celebrity cheese is one of some 5,000 rounds of calcium-rich goo sealed in cheesecloth and lard swilling with bacteria.
This is the most unpleasant
story. People from all over the world are looking at this cheese. Somebody has written lots of songs about it. It's even been invited to a wedding. It's had postcards sent to it, too. So once again, if you'd like to look at this big mound of cheese, it's CheddarVision.tv. Make a note of it. Meanwhile, he was found amid 14 damaged headstones, including a 1,000-pound stone that tumbled over him and pinned him to the ground and killed him. Police say the 22-year-old was found conscious with both legs broken. It took 5 officers to lift the broken headstone from the dead man. The impact left the letter V imprinted in Michael Scheinberger's thigh. The V was on that family headstone that collapsed on top of him.
Oh, wait. Sorry, I didn't know you were done. It's just, the thing I enjoy is playing it, and then immediately the Pavlovian interaction of your eyes darting back and forth in your head as you search your memory banks trying to come up with what it is.
Well, I'm trying to go back further, but I think I've used up all that space.
You've used up all that space storing, you know.
Newer information.
Gardening tips. All right.
Rosie O'Donnell's agent is shopping a format for the controversial star to launch a talk show, pairing her with a single guest host each week with a Hot Topics portion similar to The View. O'Donnell, who has yet to seriously focus on her next moves, is open to a number of options, including producing her own syndicated talk show and farming it out to an outside distributor. Funding for a program, along with a possible online magazine, could come from Media Rights Capital, a film financing firm in which O'Donnell's talent agency, Endeavor, owns a minority stake.
Oh, I'm sorry. Were you not done?
I was kind of half-thinking, half-going on to the next item. CBS is hotly pursuing Rosie. Sources say it is prepared to offer her a broad deal encompassing network syndication and even Showtime, possibly the CBS Evening News.
They didn't say that.
I said that.
You're making that up. See, because...
Well, it's my own wishful thinking.
I was just going
to
say...
You want to save this company?
You
just widen that desk just a little bit.
Reinforce those floors. No, it's funny that you say that because you were reading my mind because that as soon as you said,
I'm going to put it in the suggestion box if we had one
in the kitchen.
Yes,
right next to the anonymous I am being harassed box or whatever that is. But we don't have one of those here, do we? We have one of those at Citadel. It was like a box in the kitchen where you could put like a whole so and so won't quit groping me and leering down my dress. You know, sort of.
I am being harassed because I'm a white male.
I'm being given a series of tests that make me look like a Klansman. I'm sorry, Sarah. I didn't mean to refer to you.
Will you stop? You keep saying you're saying that too much. I understand a joke. Stop saying I'm a Klansman.
I'm not. I never said you were a Klansman.
You just said that.
I didn't. I don't know what you're talking about.
I missed one question.
So on her video log, Rosie said, I know it seems greedy to people, considering what I made this year. I feel like, well, if you make an offer like that, it's kind of like a light poker. If you're going to raise $10 million and you're going to see $10 million, then you got to show up. Still, interest in O'Donnell remains high in Hollywood. She's a polarizing figure.
But a lot of people do want to say what you have to say.
You really were reading my mind, though, that when you started saying that CBS was shopping around or CBS was looking for a vehicle for her, the first thing I thought of was replacing Katie Couric. Which, and this is not my statement, by the way, but according to many inside sources, she was referred to the other day as, quote, an expensive, unfixable mistake, which is $14 million a year. But, man, I got to tell you, you want to get people talking about and watching that evening news, you stick Rosie O'Donnell behind that desk.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, seriously, it's not like anybody's, oh my God. And this is not just a comment on this CBS evening news. This is evening news across the board. Not like evening news has any credibility with anybody anymore anyway.
Well, if you're over, like, 70 or something.
Yeah, I mean,
who watches TV news?
No one.
I'm going to sit down and watch news at a certain time.
Just schedule my entire life around a white person sitting behind a desk for 24 minutes telling me what's what. So the evening news has no credibility. We're already living in Paddy Chayefsky's world anyway. So we might as well just embrace it and just...
Keith Olbermann on regular channels.
Man, I gotta tell you, that guy... Boy, if they could just raise the money to grab that guy and stick him on CBS, that would just be fantastic. Because he's on MSNBC, CNBC?
Yeah. MSNBC is the only thing worth left watching on MSNBC.
See, and I watch his clips on YouTube. I don't watch him live, so I don't even know what channel he's on. But, man, if CBS...
Well, I'm home by 5 o'clock, and I go back and forth between CNN and MSNBC.
He really is great. I try to watch the excerpts of him every day or read the transcripts every morning of what it is he said the night before. But Rosie O'Donnell would certainly get people talking. I will tell you that.
I mean, it's hard to believe he was a sports guy on Channel 5 in Los Angeles just a few years ago.
He was pretty great, though. The thing about Keith Olbermann, I'm not much of a sports fan, but the thing about Keith Olbermann, he was always kind of a jerk. That's kind of one of his most endearing traits. He's just kind of an a-hole, and he doesn't really care. Yeah, and that's the thing is, he doesn't
care about people, like regular news people. He doesn't care about your community, your children, or your church. And that's the way it actually is.
He's just sort of open and honest about it. Perhaps that's why we identify with him to such a degree. I'll do one more here, and then we'll take a break. We'll come back. Any guesses?
Man, it's driving me crazy.
Okay.
See, in the
it's not the Green Hornet. No, the worst part is there's no way you can Google it either. There's no way you can look it up.
Dun, 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 dun.
All right, here's Timberland.
I've heard it a million times.
Yes, here's a million and one.
Is this the man from Uncle?
No, it's not the man from Uncle.
Darn. The girl from Uncle.
No.
Okay, so here's this crazy story that the government put out today. By next week, it'll be discredited because it's so crazy. Six men described by the federal prosecutors as, quote, Islamic militants, unquote, have been arrested on charges they planned to attack Fort Dix Army Base and kill as many soldiers as possible. The six are scheduled to appear in Camden, New Jersey, to face charges of conspiracy to kill U.S. servicemen. I mean, these servicemen would be in worse shape just walking the streets of Camden, never mind in an army fort. It says here they're planning on attacking Fort Dix and killing as many as possible. They were going to disguise themselves as pizza delivery men because pizza delivery men are allowed anywhere without security clearance.
And this totally does seem like... What was that story we had last week that had, like, no sourcing on it? No, there was, like, no dateline. It wasn't attributed to anybody.
This says Mount Laurel, New Jersey.
Uh-huh. That's a made-up town.
And in quotation marks is Islamic militants, whatever that is, unquote. So it's like, they're not sure.
They have no idea.
Don't know what else to call these people.
Here are some vague statements and wild exaggerations that we are passing off to the general public as news. All right.
Okay. Well, this base was used to hold Albanian refugees. Who even knew they brought them over here?
Fort Dix. Yeah. Rick, this email says, I just had to drop an email to say, I love you, Rick. I love you, Sarah X. Dillon. I love you, Tim Riley. You guys are the best. I come home from lunch from the hellhole listening to your radio program, and it brings a smile to my face every day. Thank you for the smiles that I otherwise would not have. Thank you, Cynthia. No, Cynthia, thank you. All right, we'll take a break. We'll come back around the corner. Mailman Chris will join us later on. More from Tim Riley. Just so Sarah doesn't feel alone here, we'll do the CBS, we'll do the diversity test. All right, you're not really. This email sums it. It says, Rick, stop being a jerk. This email says, you couldn't be more wrong about Sarah being a Klansman. Stop spouting wild inaccuracies and misinformation.
There's a second test, too, about the convenience of email, which you haven't even touched yet.
And it says, quit being such an ass about it. She would be a Klanswoman. All right, thank you, sir. Excellent. Back after this. Don't go anywhere.
That's 503-733-2970. Thank you for coming along, making it part of your listening day. This is going to be like the stupid cable box thing. The stupid mystery sound. It's like a thing that I play that I assume everybody will get immediately. It's not Perry Mason. Let's see, what other guesses have I got? It's not Perry Mason. It's not my favorite Martian. What else did somebody say? It is not the Green Hornet. No. No, it is not. All right. It's 503-733-2970. Coming up later on, CNN Radio correspondent Jim Roop will join us here. We've also got Dennis Pitzenberger coming up. And the CBS Radio Diversity Test. Plus a pile of people to be glad that you are not. Our hunt for the second worst story ever. And a whole bunch of crap. Ladies and gentlemen, let's welcome now to the... Wait, hold on. Let's see if I even have this here. Let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show.
Postman is the person in your neighborhood.
Our good friend... And former stenographer of the Rick Emerson Show, Mailman Chris. Hello, sir.
Hello.
How are you, my friend?
I am doing excellent.
All right. Now, here's the thing. I got this... Tim was pointing this out earlier. For the longest time, I thought that the postal guys just put plastic bags in my mailbox so that I would have a thing to put my trash into. I didn't really know what that was for until this year when Susan Reynolds, who's the marketing guru here, she put this memo on my desk and she's like, hey, you know, this is kind of one of CBS's pet charities and kind of a thing that they get really involved in. And I actually had to ask her, I said, well, what? I don't know what you're talking about. She goes, you know, they put those plastic bags in your mailbox. And I thought that those were somebody like bums or somebody had just put that. I didn't know what they were for. And I asked Tim, and Tim's like, you mean those things that I put my trash into? I have no idea what it was actually for. So I'm supposed to be, I don't know what's happening or what I'm supposed to do. So rather than trying to feign as though I'm informed and care about the community, because largely I do not, what is this and what am I supposed to be pretending to care about?
Well, I figured I'd come in, it's my day off. I thought, you know, I'm good at contributing, you know, boob jokes and worst stories ever, but...
Oh, no. Is this a very special...
This is a very special edition of Mailman.
All right, okay.
I wanted to come in and tell everyone about the Letter Carrier Food Drive that's coming up this coming Saturday. And CBS Radio is a sponsor of this, so it's the 15th annual food drive, and it's the largest single-day food drive anywhere in the nation. Also here in Oregon, we take in over 1 million pounds of food on that one day.
So I don't know. So what is it? So you drop off like bags on what, like 1 week, and then like the next week you pick them back up and we put stuff in them?
Yeah, what's happening is you should get over the next 3 days in your mailbox a card, just a little postcard telling you what it's about.
Right.
And then like the next day you'll get a bag. The bag, a little plastic bag, and you can fill that bag or you can use a bigger bag, you know, whatever's best for you. And those will come over the next couple of days. And then this Saturday, May 12th, is the day of our food drive. And what we'll do is we're out there delivering your mail. We will pick up any food. You just set it by your mailbox.
Oh, that's got to suck to be you. I mean, no offense. I mean, I'm glad to help the hungry and all. But that's got to be just the worst day of your life. You have to pick up like 7,000 pounds of baked beans.
It's a hard day.
Yeah.
But it's worth it. It's one of the few days of the year that I really get a sense of, you know, because
it's like a tangible thing.
It is. You know, you go out at Christmas time, you're delivering Christmas packages. The people are really happy to get those packages at the door because, you know, it's from Grandma in Kalamazoo. You know, this is, you know, you're picking up that food. You know it's going to the Oregon Food Bank. It's going to people. And this is a callback to, like, was it last week you were talking about? Or 2 weeks ago when you were talking about you wanted a charity that was local and that helped people that needed it.
Right, right.
This goes to the Oregon Food Bank. And that feeds Oregon hungry.
Okay. And so this is, so people should just, like, the next couple of days, people will be looking in their mailbox for this?
Absolutely.
And then does it list what they want and what they don't want?
It does, and I can tell you now, I mean, we're looking for nutritious, non-perishable food items like tuna fish, soups, stew, chili, canned fruits, vegetables, beans, rice, things like that. You can do boxes of like, the pasta, the hamburger helper type stuff. It just cannot be glass, it can't be homemade, and it can't be opened.
Okay, all right. So it can't be, so they don't want anything breakable or like something like some crap that you've just like pulled out of your garden and canned yourself.
Exactly.
Or something. All right, okay.
Exactly. You know, and I get a lot. I over the years past, I've seen cans of caviar. Or, you know, little jars of caviar. I get boxes of crackers. I get bags of chips even.
Right.
You know, it doesn't have to be, you know, because, hey, everyone's got to eat. And this is a good, and over the last 3 years, just the last couple of years, we did 1.3 million pounds on that one day. Last year we did 1.4 million pounds, so our goal for this year,
1.5 million. 1.5 million pounds is our goal.
And does this happen across the whole country at the same time?
It is. All across the country. It's put on by the union, the National Association of Letter Carriers, in conjunction with the Postal Service.
All right.
And every letter carrier all over the country collecting food on one day.
Is there a website for this? Or is there is it USPS.gov or some crap if people want to
I'm sure there's probably a link to it from USPS.gov. You can also find out more at OregonFoodBank.org.
Okay.
And I believe NALC.com as well.
All right.
NALC.org.
We will be talking more about that as the week goes on. So it's the National Letter Carriers Food Drive, which starts later on, I guess, this week. So people are checking their mailbox later this week. And this is kind of like the thing we used to do around Christmas time. I went to Catholic school, and the Catholics are all big into getting food for the food bank. And so I would just root around the back of the cupboard. And I would always go for two things. I would go for lima beans, and I would go, my parents... did you ever notice that, in the back of your cupboard, sometimes there are cans of food that are there that you don't remember buying and that no one in the house remembers buying, mm-hmm. and it's almost like they came with the house. It's like they were some sort of weird starter food that came with the cupboard when you moved in. There were always these cans of beets in the back, and who eats canned beets is no one. No one does that. But they was like, you would just, and they were always there, and they were sort of like this weird, they were like some weird vegetative tribble in that I would give them away every Christmas. Like my mom would be like, well, you've got to rustle up food to give to the poor and to the whatever. And so I would just find every can of beets I could possibly locate in the house, and I would shove them into a bag, and I would take them to school. And God damn it, if there weren't five more cans of beets the next time December. And I know that my parents weren't buying them. They were just there for no readily identifiable reason. So if you've got beets in your house, you're looking to get rid of, my friends, this is the time. So beets, whatever, non-perishable, non-open, non-homemade foodstuffs, as they used to say. So be looking for the bag and the card in your mailbox next couple of days, or go to OregonFoodBank.org for more information. Excellent. All right. Hey, do you have a guess as to the mystery sound? Do you know what it is?
I thought Hitchcock, but that's not Hitchcock.
No, it's not. So, there you go. Take solace in the fact that Tim doesn't know what it is either.
Tim doesn't know what it is either. I know there was a lot of people calling in, but...
Hey, do you have to take a diversity test at the postal at the post office?
I didn't have to take one at the post office.
Really?
Did you just take one sometime?
Did you just take one anywhere else?
Well,
did you work somewhere where they tried to discern your tolerance?
Try not to think less of me, but before I was a letter carrier, I actually worked for Intel Corporation in the Human Resources Department.
Ah, so you were the guy that got the card that says, so-and-so keeps leering at my bosoms and making suggestive comments to me.
Exactly. So yeah. I would reasonably think I'm probably... overqualified for that test.
Well, I thought that I would. I mean, look, I've taken several of these.
I thought I'd ace it.
And we should be. Sarah's not really a Klansman. We're simply making.
I missed one question.
Twice. And yes, eventually through trial and error in the process of simple elimination, you finally were able to pass the CPS.
It's not trial and error.
How does it make you feel that Scotty J actually passed the tolerance and diversity test before you did?
It's not a test so much as it is a... I know that he was just taking guesses.
Well, he was...
He just guessed a little better than I did.
Well, and some of the
answers... That last question, I got the rest of them. I got all of them, all the practice tests, pretty much right.
You did indeed. No, the best part about it, the diversity test is how they run you through these little sort of, these little scenarios. And I don't have... Do you have it? Do you have the test up in front of you? The worksheet? Because they run you through some of these scenarios where it is, I mean, it really is just like the most absurd behavior. Just like things that you can't, situations that you can't possibly imagine actually occurring. Like there's that...
Occurring.
Isn't there that one, there's that one scenario where it's like Bob, a white man, he approaches... You know.
Well, can you pull it up still, too?
He approaches Pedro, who is, of Latin descent,
And there's a picture right next to it showing the two?
No, there's a picture they're showing in case you're not quite sure what a white man or a Latin man looks like. And it's a whole lot of, Bob approaches Pedro and says, I'm going to be hiring you, in our new factory position, because your people have a strong work ethic. It's like, who do you really know that would say that? I mean,
Scotty J.
I suppose. I mean, I guess it's possible. But I mean, even in this occasionally backwater state, I can't really fathom who it is that would be saying that. I'm not sure that I can bring it up.
Okay, I have
my password. Okay. So would you like to be pleased to be describing a scenario scenario from the CBS diversity training test.
All right, this one is called The Heart of the Matter. The Heart of the Matter. Drew, the general sales manager of a radio station, is complaining to Nina, a local sales manager. Drew, why is corporate wasting our time on a diversity seminar? We already believe in diversity here. Why do we need to talk about
how
much
we
love it?
Wait, hold on. We should act this out.
I know. That's why you need to come over
okay,
here.
Okay, hold on. Oh, hold on. I'll go over and we'll act out the... I'll be Drew. You be Nina.
Okay.
All right. Well, I'll be Drew, who looks a lot like Tim Savage. You be Nina, who looks just like Kristen from accounting.
Okay.
All right. This is called The Heart of the Matter. This is the setup. Drew, the general sales manager of a radio station, is complaining to Nina, a local sales manager. Why is corporate wasting our time on a diversity seminar? We already believe in diversity here. Why do we need to talk about how much we love it?
Well, Drew, it might be a good idea to address some stereotypes.
What? I love diversity. Oh, this is the question. I love diversity. You know, I hired that Mexican-American sales assistant because of her culture's fabulous work ethic.
Actually, Teresa's from Honduras.
This really is like Scotty J. This is a script, by the way. This is actually a scenario from the diversity in the CBS Radio Workplace test. So you note that she's from Honduras, and then Drew says, I think it's the Mexican part of Honduras.
There is no Mexican part of Honduras.
I'm pretty sure there is. Jim, a promotions manager, walks by. Oh, hey, Jim. Arigato.
What?
Arigato. That's Japanese for hello. But you already know that. And then Jim says, well, I'm Chinese-American. My parents are from China. Right, anyway, I bet you're pretty good with computers, huh? What? Exactly. Hey, how'd you like to lead our new internet promotions project? I thought Stephanie was getting that. She's the IT person. I want someone with your instincts at the helm. Someone who's got computers in his blood. Plus, she has her family obligations, so she'll report to you. I'm sure you'll do a great job together. As you can see, Drew has preconceived notions of his employees' skills and abilities based on their being part of a certain ethnic, cultural, religious, or racial group, or where they went to school, where they live, or how they dress. He's allowing prejudice, stereotypes, and bias to cloud his judgment of what people can and can't do.
My parents, the white woman with her finger up like, oh no.
The accompanying graphic to this, by the way, this lecture here from the test, is accompanied by a really smarmy, bitchy-looking white woman holding up her finger as though you've been a disobedient student in the third grade. And then it says, all of us need to recognize and become more aware of our own inherent biases and prejudices toward other people. Each of us deserves a chance to succeed at work based on our ability to get the job done. No one's future should be limited based on a stereotype. Now, let me just walk. Let me get back to my microphone here. I'm not suggesting, of course, that people should behave in a bigoted or prejudiced or biased fashion, but I suppose all of this would be a lot more convincing were it not coming from an industry that routinely engages in focus grouping to identify, based on backgrounds and heritage and culture, exactly how people behave and what they're likely to listen to and buy. But, you know,
if that was the
I'm just saying.
If that was the post office giving that same thing, it would be on a video form that we'd all sit around and watch once a week. And it'd be really badly acted.
As opposed to the flawless, like, Olivier production that was just there. All right. Well, we should take... it's 1:30.
Oh,
all right, we should take a break. All right. Mailman Chris, thank you so much for coming in. Letter Carrier's food drive, which is this week. Go to OregonFoodBank.org to find out more information.
Absolutely.
Or you can probably find out more at USPS.gov.
Thank you very much for having me, guys.
Thank you, sir. There you go. Mailman Chris, ladies and gentlemen. 503-733-2970. You stay there. Back after this. It's the Rick Emerson radio program. Emerson Show, 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. Let's see, what do we got here? We got a, I really did think it would have been solved by now, this business. Rick, That tune is from the beginning of the cartoon cavalcade with the parade of cartoon characters that used to play on USA.
No.
Rick, that sound is clearly... Everybody's convinced that they've got it. That sound is clearly from The Outer Limits.
No.
Rick, Frank from Beaverton says, is that the Twilight Zone?
No.
Rick, says Joel, is that for... Listen to this one. You want to talk about an overly specific and inaccurate reach. Is that sounded for the Brady Hawaiian holiday special? You know, the one where they find the tiki and every time something bad happens, they play that sound and the Vincent Price gets them locked up in a cave and serves them beans?
No.
Rick, is that from Charlie's Angels?
No.
Rick, is the sound from Get Smart?
No.
You think Process of Elimination would have correctly pointed somebody in the right direction by this?
No.
Ladies and gentlemen, at the Ministry of Truth, your President, Prophet, Seer, and Revelator.
And now, from the Ministry of Truth, this is Tim Riley.
Okay, I find a little bit about this aircraft carrier that somebody wants to put in the Willamette River. Apparently, this group of old veterans, the USS Ranger Museum Foundation, and they're trying to get the city to okay this USS Ranger. You see, it's only 250 feet wide and 7 stories high. It would be the focal point of the city, a big gray mess. It might fit at Terminal 1. That's one of the sites it's proposing. The river itself is about 1,000 feet wide at that point, and this is 250 feet wide. So this gigantic aircraft carrier would become a centerpiece for the city, and who wouldn't want it to be that way?
Where, now, does it say, and maybe you said this and I missed it, does it say exactly where they would be docking this thing?
Pier 1.
And where is it?
Terminal 1.
Where's that at?
That's where the industrial area is.
Like in St. John's?
Further up, near Swan Island, that area, I believe, is Terminal 1.
Who would even see, there's nobody who would even see it there, except for the people who live there.
I suppose.
Again, let's see,
I think that's where Terminal 1 is, anyway.
Rick. Oh, but here, okay, but here's this, did you know this, Tim Riley?
Mm.
That the USS Ranger, which is an aircraft, and this thing is huge, I'm looking at it right now.
It carries airplanes.
I mean, I guess it sort of should go without saying that it's big, but I mean, it's massive.
Mm-hmm.
It is the aircraft carrier used in, wait for it, Top Gun, and Star Trek IV, The Voyage Home, known to women as the one with the whales. So that is, that's where, so it's got that going for it. That would sort of make it a companion piece to the Blueback, which is that OMSI submarine, which was used in the Hunt for Red October.
I forget that thing was over there.
Exactly. So this will give us two geek pieces of maritime movie memorabilia. So it's got that for go for it. The thing is just massive, though. I can't even imagine what they would do. The only way that they could even make money on this is to put like apartments or something on it and then charge you money to live there for a while.
I say they put the homeless in it.
They should totally do that.
The USS Dignity Village.
That's a great idea.
You bet.
As soon as you said that, it's like I can almost hear in my head the snapping together of a circle as it closed. That's a fantastic idea. You get the aircraft carrier, you stick the homeless on there, it'd be easy.
It's something that, you know, people want to call it Paris or something.
the USS have a beer.
The Liberty Bell.
And you just put a trail of alcohol down on the ground and you just lay it right onto there. And then as soon as it's full, you kick it out to sea. Problem solved. Sort of like the transient equivalent to one of those the garbage scows that they have off the coast of Hackensack. That, I like the way you think, Tim Ryle. Who says that CBS Radio isn't about people and solutions?
They should have asked me before they hired Katie Couric.
This email
said Rosie O'Donnell.
She's number one.
This email says, is that sound from Lost in Space?
No, it's not, but thanks. Thanks so much for playing. Here's Tim Riley.
So it's from the same time period.
Scotty is typing on the screen, I am besieged. He's not saying besieged, he says slammed, but I'm saying besieged. He is apparently under siege from calls about the mystery sound. So if you're calling about the mystery sound, just don't. It's more fun just to torture Tim. No, don't. If you're calling about the mystery sound, we're not going to be taking your call. But thank you. I appreciate the effort and I appreciate the sentiment. But we're going to make Tim wait a while on that. So I don't want people to wait on hold for no reason there.
A Fresno college student has been arrested after opening fire at an apartment complex during a dispute over a video game console, killing one person and wounding two others. Initially, they thought he was still in that complex, but they expanded the search, and it was right across the street from California State University /Fresno. But the university remained open. This is not another Virginia Tech. This is simply a dispute between one person and a group of individuals. This person who was arrested majored in criminology, baby. Wanted to be a cop. The trial continues for a former Maryland college student accused of murdering his date. John Gamer faces the death penalty for allegedly killing Josie Brown after meeting on the internet chat site that the young kids like MySpace.
Gamer?
I barely knew her.
In a twist of fate, his cell phone accidentally dialed Brown's number during the attack. Yesterday, the jury found the phone message on that phone and played it to the court.
Oh, I don't want to hear that.
Yeah, that's bad.
Oh, that's unpleasant. Let's not.
Well, here's something more pleasant,
okay.
But not unexpected. Warner Music Group, which owns such musical labels as The Atlantic, Bad Boy, and Elektra, reported a wider fiscal second quarter loss than expected, hurt by restructuring costs, they say, and a decline in revenue. Warner Music lost $27 million in the last quarter, and revenue fell 2%, so they say. But digital revenue increased to $111 million, up 23% to $90 million from a year ago. But people aren't buying those CDs anymore.
This email says, Rick, about that aircraft, that's a great idea. About that aircraft character, make a character, aircraft carrier, make it a casino. That's a great idea. The USS Doubledown. That's fantastic. I'm not sure if you can do that. I guess you'd have to sell it to the Indians, right? Because the state can't, like Oregon can't do that. It could be like a card room, but it'd be sold to an Indian tribe or something. Mm. Although you probably don't, the government at this point probably doesn't want to sell the Indians an aircraft character. Character, carrier. Is screwing up my jokes. My lack of diction is screwing up my humor.
Maybe it became another one of those lingerie shops like they have in 80 seconds.
Come on. Come on to the USS Ranger. Let our beautiful girls. We're open at 7 a.m.
They've been waiting for you since 2 a.m.
Let me dance for you.
If you're horny and unemployed, come by first thing in the morning. Get rid of your few remaining dollars. Let's see. This email says, Rick, about movie boats. Wow. Portland's waterways are becoming a movie lover's dream. We'll have the aircraft carrier from Top Gun, the submarine from Hunt for Red October, and most importantly, the houseboat from Madonna's Body of Evidence. Thank you. Really, you should. This is from a man, by the way. So you should tell everybody you know that you have that information inside your head. Make sure that everybody knows. All right.
Well, the mayor of the western Kansas town of Greensburg, which was destroyed by a massive tornado, vows to build a brand new town. We understand it's tough. It'll take a few days, but we're going to make progress, and a lot of progress. It's going to get better every minute, every hour.
That's,
why don't people just move away?
I was just going to say, that's a lie. That's not true.
Why on earth would you want to stay there?
Aren't there how many signs from God do you need?
There are 50 states here. This is just one of them.
And I mean,
it's not near anything that matters.
And even in Kansas, aren't there? Let's be honest here. Let's all speak as adults. In Kansas, and I know that
Kansas.
I barely knew her.
Maybe this isn't. I'm looking at the test. Maybe I'm being intolerant of Kansans. Maybe I'm.
You shouldn't be able to look at the test. I should be able to give it to you.
I've already taken and passed the test. First time, by the way.
Yeah, but maybe if you hear it, you'll get a little more confused.
For a control group, we should have. We should have somebody take it who hasn't. Somebody who hasn't taken it already. All
then
I'm
did
saying.
Did you get 100%?
On the diversity test?
I got one wrong.
Really?
Then last night I did the importance and convenience of email.
See, I don't think I've taken that one. Nobody's told me about that.
I didn't get that one.
What is about the...
Everyone has to, if you send it on the website, it checks which ones you've taken and which ones are left to do, and I've taken them all.
What is the CBS test about the importance of email supposed to convey?
Well, you can't make personal comments about people in emails.
Oh.
Saying that they might be slow due to their ethnic background or whatnot.
For real?
Really?
Is that a saying that they're hard to get along with?
Oh.
As many Caucasians are. So, if you have a comment to make about somebody, you're supposed to keep it to yourself.
Inbox is full of pictures from Rick saying, look at how retarded Britney looks in
this picture. You cannot do that.
No, but I can say it as long as it's not because she's white, right?
Right.
I can say that she looks...
You're not respecting... I don't know.
I can say that she looks retarded, but I can't say, look, another dumb white person. That would be... But so I can say it out loud.
No, but you're insulting retarded people by lumping in Britney Spears.
By comparing them to Britney Spears.
Yeah, so therefore somebody's feelings are hurt.
Rick Emerson was cruel to the retarded by comparing them to Britney. So I have to just say those things out loud around the water cooler. I just can't put them on paper.
Right.
All right. What the hell was I saying? Oh, this email says, Rick, was that sound from the Avengers? No. No, my point about Kansas was that not only are there lots of states, I mean, just in Kansas alone, aren't there any, aren't there hundreds of cities in Kansas that are just empty, just devoid of human existence? Can't you just pack up your, well, there's nothing to pack up. They don't have anything. Just get in the car and go to another town.
I mean, they're a bunch of, you know, old saggy-faced farmers pulling oxygen tanks behind them, going over the grain shop for cheap beer, but that's about all that's left there.
Seriously, just get on a highway and start walking east and stop when you see a silo and a VFW somewhere. Mm-hmm. And then we're all set. All right. Rick Emerson Show, how can I help you?
Hey, Rick, this is Chuck.
Hey.
Hey, I know what that sounder is, but I don't want to spoil your flow.
Hey, thank you, sir. I appreciate that.
They also use it in a theatrical movie. There's a hint.
This sounder. They also use it in a film that was made for theatrical release. Yes, that is true, sir.
Yep. Anyway, I had a couple ideas for new products. Diversity, sensitivity, flashcards.
All right, now, hold on just a second. Now, I'm going to give you a second to think about whether you want to continue with whatever humorous observation you're about to make. You just ponder that for just a second, don't you? Just hold on. Now, Chuck, now have you pondered whether or not you'd like to continue with whatever joke you were about to make?
Well, it wasn't really a joke. It was just that, you know, I thought it'd be a good product. And that's kind of product every HR...
It's a joke. I can tell from your tone of voice.
No, but I do have a second product I thought of. And I don't need to think about this. You'll like this.
Hold on. I'm still back on flashcards for diversity. I'm really unclear about what you're even referring to.
Oh, you know where I'm going with that, Rick. Anyway,
I don't.
Like, you whip out your flashcards at a guy and say out of 50 cards, how many incorrect statements, you know, like, say, Oriental as opposed to Asian.
Oh, I see. So
you know,
it's
like
test.
Drug and person.
So it's sort of a test about which terms are correct and which terms are offensive.
All right, and you get the guy going fast, and, you know, so you maybe get an honest reaction.
Oh, I see. So people would not then. So you believe you would get a truer read on someone's actual perceptions or beliefs.
Right. Say all Scotty right. Instead of Asian. Scotty might say, you know, Chinaman.
Scotty would not say that.
Oriental. I'm sorry.
No. All right. Let's. What is your second comment, sir?
Oh, a T-shirt in celebration of Paris Hilton.
Uh huh.
Okay. I shared a cell with Paris Hilton. All I got was a stupid STD.
Oh, stupid STD. I thought you said stupid ass TB as in.
No. All I got was a stupid STD.
Okay, I heard it. I thought you said like tuberculosis. And that wasn't funny. All right, thank you, sir. That's all right. Hi, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. What's up? How can I help you?
Well, Rick, you know, I just heard that quote about the mayor of decimated Kansas City saying that he would have that city up and running in a couple of days.
Yes.
You know, maybe if the folks and fine folks of Kansas would spend more than a couple days building an entire city, they wouldn't fall down every time a rainstorm came through.
You know, to be fair, this is not a rainstorm. This was actually a massive tornado that destroyed buildings made out of solid stone and concrete. So let's be fair. Look, I to make fun of Kansas as much as the next person, perhaps a little more. But let's be honest.
It's not Bangladesh.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, it's not like they were coming through a town made out of Legos. I mean, these were not the Three Little Pigs, and the houses were not made of straw. We have to be fair about that, sir.
Well, I also wanted to real quickly say that maybe help the retarded. Might not be a...
That's a clinical term, sir. That's a medical term.
Well, I believe that the current politically correct term is cognitive impaired.
Yeah, but cognitive impaired could be Scotty after he's had one too many Crown Royals. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but it might be a little fun to every once in a while throw in a help the cog imps.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm not sure if that's a joke or not, but we're just going to move on. Thank you, sir. All right, it's 503-733-2970. This is like that first first 20 minutes today where it was just like a bunch of guys calling up about like the asking questions about why the sidewalks downtown are sparkly or something. All right, here's Tim Riley, the Ministry of Truth.
Well, a Beaverton cheerleading coach is being accused of sexually abusing a 16-year-old girl on a flight home from a cheerleading competition. David Chapman, who's 32, was a cheerleading coach at West Coast Extreme All-Star Cheerleaders based in Tigard, and he was a coach at high school in Beaverton. The FBI says Chapman was escorting a group of 20 cheerleaders on a return trip from Florida April 24th when the sexual abuse allegedly occurred. After the incident, the FBI said an undercover agent took over the victim's MySpace page and began communicating with Chapman. He was arrested Monday night. He's been a varsity cheerleading coach since 2003 and has been suspended pending the outcome of the case.
You know, Eddie, these stories always, it's always the coach. Every time we have one of these stories, the coach, there's something weird. It seems to me like a larger percentage of coaches are engaged in molesting than almost any other group of teachers. It really does seem like there's something weird in the coach.
Well, people should stay away from children anyway.
It's true. I mean, if you see a child run in the opposite direction, if you have a child run in the opposite direction,
yes.
This email says, Rick, the sound, quit being a dick. The sound is from Mission Impossible. No, you're wrong. Here's Tim Riley. Let's do one more here, and then we'll move on.
Well, I'm kind of mystified by this whole thing.
By the sound?
Yes.
I thought you would have nailed this by now.
Well, the original Star Wars movie trilogy is tops on the list of flicks people love to watch over and over and over again. The classic George Lucas films are number one on the list of the most viewed movies for men and women. 50% of respondents to the survey said they watched Star Wars trilogy more than 20 times. When it comes to which film women watch over and over again, they say it's Dirty Dancing. Other popular multi-viewing flicks for men are Aliens, Terminator, Blade Runner, and The Godfather. Along with Dirty Dancing, the ladies enjoy Grease, The Sound of Music, and Pretty Women repeatedly.
I could totally see that. Can you set that aside for me?
I can milk
an entire hour out of that at some point. That right there, that's the very definition of a high-concept topic.
Fantastic.
Just gonna set this right over here. Sometimes at some slack moment or when we want to test the phones up or something, we'll do that. All right, it's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. Let's take a break here. We'll try to stay on schedule for once in our miserable goddamn lives. Do this. We'll come back. Coming up around the corner, we'll talk about the bike challenge a little bit. We got the CBS diversity test and our hunt for the second worst story of all time. You stay there. It's the Rick Emerson Show live from Portland. My friends, don't go anywhere. We are back after this. Here's the Manges. Scotty's day is going badly. Scotty is typed on the screen, I want to eat and pee, but I can't. Really? Sounds like a personal issue. Well, let's help out with that.
Scotty J, this is David Cassidy. I don't know what else to say, except...
You're not going to amount to jack squat!
Scotty, please summon him to the studio.
Beam us up, Scotty.
End of message.
Let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show, our intrepid PA, Scotty J. Why, hello, sir. How are you doing? What are you doing there?
I was
kind of having a freak out.
What are you doing?
I was, you know.
How's your day going?
Let's look. I was kidding.
How's your day?
Hey, it's great, Rick. I love this day.
Okay, so what's wrong?
I thought you promised never, never, ever, ever to do a mystery sound again.
I thought people would get this right off. I didn't think it would be such a mystery to people. Listen to this. Rick, is it Perry Mason? After hearing it a few times, it just screams Raymond Burr. Raymond Burr squatting nude above a glass of coffee table. No, that's not what it is. Let's see. It's also not Night Gallery. Let's see. What else is it not? Rick, this email says, God, people are getting angry about this. God damn it, is it supposed to be working? I'm supposed to be working, and the sound is distracting me in the worst way ever. Is it Gilligan's Island? No, it's not Gilligan's Island.
It does have that little bit of a, you know, there's something bad on the island
going
on.
That's sort of a, you know, you can't make me, you can't make me, you can't make me.
And
I'm
then it's like,
not going to dress up like a girl.
Yeah, Gilligan dressed as a woman, totally. All right. All right, Scotty. Well, I figured that I would, before we do anything else, we were talking about the CBS diversity test, and Sarah noted correctly that she was going to ask me to take it, but of course, I've already taken it. That's the thing. I've already taken the test. Sarah's already taken the test, and we should note, in all fairness, she only got hung up on the final question.
You pile on, and then it just makes it deviate into something terrible.
I don't mean to pile on. In all fairness, you aced it except for the last question, which you had to take a couple of times. But I think Tim missed that last question too. Did you get it? You aced it the first time.
Yes.
University test?
It's like I said yesterday, all the practice ones, no problem. And then when the real test came, it was 10 questions, right? Something like that?
Yes, I've got it here in front of me.
Okay. Question number two.
Well,
I got half right. You see, it was like a
multiple.
Yeah. So I really didn't miss any. I was half right. I should have had a 9.5 on that.
Well, we should... Okay. He's take it up with human resources. All right. Well, we mentioned this yesterday, but having a listener take it as just sort of a control group. So what we'll do now is...
Yeah, that'd be good.
Well, let me see if I can clear out the phone. So we're looking for a listener to take the CBS diversity test on the air here with us, and we will find out exactly how tolerant and diverse you, the Rick Emerson audience, is. And this is Jim Roop, too.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, this is probably Jim Roop. Okay, so, Scotty, so what I'll do is this. I will go ahead and talk to Jim Roop here. Please now to be calling 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. Scotty, I will let you go through these calls, because these are probably all mystery sound calls. So I'll let you get through these and find somebody who sounds reasonably intelligent to take the diversity test with us.
Okay.
And you do that while we're talking to Roop, and then we'll come back.
Sounds good.
A second. Okay.
All right.
Ladies and gentlemen, let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show, live from Los Angeles. Correspondent to the Stars, James Roop. Hello, sir. How are you, my friend?
Woo-hoo. I'm fine.
What's going on in the City of Angels, brother? How crazy on a scale of 1 to 10 is Phil Spector today?
He's the same. He's just kind of sitting there hanging out.
You know, I saw, after you mentioned yesterday, you said that you didn't think he was going to make it through this try. You thought the try was going to kill him or put him in the hospital. I took a real long look at him on television this morning. They were doing some news story about it. They had some footage of him and Gabe, with Leslie Stahl's hair, which is what he's wearing now. You are right that he just looks sort of... He just looks like he's sort of shrinking every day.
Well, with every step he takes, it's real tentative and real ginger. And he's got, he's got his wife on one side, and he's got those huge bodyguards all around him. I wouldn't be surprised if he's actually being carried in. He seems to be floating down the hallway of the courthouse.
It doesn't really look like he's doing very well. Do you know if he has existing health issues?
He's taking this medication for. That they use to treat psychotic episodes. I forgot, neuroplectic drugs, I think they're called.
He should have been taking that a couple years ago.
Which is what's causing his hands to shake. He's got Parkinson's. Its side effects are Parkinson's like symptoms. So he's on medication. The guy is, he's just always been frail. I mean, always. He's always been a little guy, a little thin guy. And his health hasn't been the best. I just think this is taking a real toll on him.
Maybe that should be his defense. His hands were shaking too violently to really accurately kill anybody with that gun.
I was aiming for the target behind him.
I was really. We were trying to do like a William Tell kind of thing, and it all went badly. Is this the same story that we were talking yesterday? This woman said that he turned quote demonic on her.
Yeah, that's the lady who was Diane Ogden. She's a talent coordinator. She was on the stand yesterday, the second woman of, I think, four or five that are going to testify.
And she's the one who saved these voicemail messages.
No, she's not the one who saved them. The first lady saved them. In the morning, we heard the phone messages from Dorothy Melvin, who was Joan Rivers' manager.
Right.
And dated Spector. She kept those damn phones.
Jesus, how many women has he threatened and or stalked and or terrified?
Well, we're going to hear from like five or four. So, that's just four out of how many years this guy's been alive and has been, you know, the golden boy. He's made the rules. He hasn't had to live by any rules, which is another reason why I think court's going to kill him.
Right.
Because he's not used to being told how to act.
Well, it's the Paris Hilton thing, you know, that's why I think everybody is so perversely interested in seeing Paris Hilton go to jail, because everybody wants to see what happens when she's taken out of her very controlled, very pampered environment.
Yeah.
So it's, I mean, that's, I think people are really, they're intrigued by that, about what happens when she suddenly does not have control over everything that happens to her. You know, when she doesn't get a 300 thread count, you know, set of sheets or whatever. So, all right. So there's that. And I mean, this is just going to get a grind on and on and on.
Today was a mess. Today there's a forensics person in there, and she's talking about a piece of fingernail. Spend half a day talking about a piece of fingernail that may or may not be of any value in this whole damn trial.
This was like when that guy, what was his name? Was it Dr. Fung? Was that his name? The OJ guy?
Dr. Lee.
Yeah, the DNA guy.
The DNA guy was Dr. Fung. Yeah,
yeah.
Dr. Lee was the coroner.
And it just seemed like every single day, it was like, it took about 4 years for them to say, like, you know, for them to, I remember just every day of them having a big chart on the wall of what DNA looked like, you know, and it was just like a double helix up there for like what seemed like an eternity while this guy just went on. So and so is he looking at life in prison if he gets convicted?
Oh yeah.
Yeah, that's...
Which would be about, you know, 20 minutes. You know? If he's convicted, man, he's dropping dead right there. I can almost guarantee his heart will just attack him.
It'll be like the end of Raiders of the Lost Ark. You know? The end of Last Crusade. His hair will get all long and his skin will melt away, and that'll be it. He'll just turn to dust right there in the courtroom.
Right now, I'm sure he feels like Artie Fufkin anyway, but he's not going to make it past
Artie Fufkin.
From Spinal Tap.
I know.
Okay.
I want, hold on.
You know, that's me. I'm sorry. Kick my butt.
I want to kick.
Yeah.
The best line is when Artie, and I'm acting it out. You should know that as I'm acting at Artie Fufkin, I'm standing up. And
are you in the position?
I'm in the position. The best line, two great lines of Artie Fufkin. One is when he says, I'm not asking, I'm telling now.
Yeah, I'm not telling now. Kick my ass.
Yeah, and then when he says, kick this ass for a man.
Yeah.
What does that even mean when he says, kick this ass for a man?
I don't know. I remember Michael McKean was just smiling, laughing.
And
he was really laughing in that scene.
And that's hilarious when he says that, but I don't even know what that phrase means in Spinal. Kick this ass for a man! I'm going to start saying that. That's going to be my end of show phrase. We play an end of show audio clip every day. Today's end of show clip is kick this ass for a man. Fantastic.
Well, anyway, I think if you look at Spectre, he looks like he wants to stand up and say, look, it's me, okay?
Yeah.
I'm sorry, it's me. Kick my ass and let me get out of here. You know, that's what he wants to do, and it's not going to happen that way.
Excellent. Hey, before you go, let's see if we can put some peace of mind into the Rick Emerson audience. Can you, Jim Roop, identify this mystery sound? Hold on. Are we feeding the phone, Sarah? All right. Jim Roop, what is this mystery sound?
That's from Batman.
There you go. Well done. See,
seriously,
for like an hour and a half, people have been trying to figure out what that is, and they all think it's lost in space.
No, that's from Batman, when you change from the Caped Crusader to some sort of villain.
That's the
Segway sounder.
Sir, that's why you are you and I am a pretender.
I'm a geek, man.
That just
proved it right there.
There you go. You have no idea the points that... That's like when Lisa Goddard referenced Footloose the other day.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, so see, that's...
How did that fit in?
I have no idea. I don't even remember. She just made some foot, and then today she made an Office Space reference. So, I mean, you guys, your tote board continues to go up every day with the audience.
Very nice.
All right. Thank you, sir.
Okay.
Ladies and gentlemen, Jim Roop in Los Angeles said, kick this ass. Kick my ass for a man. All right. That's Jim Roop. God bless him. All right. I'm not asking. I'm telling now. All right, let's see, before we, let's just...
Scotty J, this is David Cassidy. I don't know what else to say, except...
You're not going to amount to death!
All right, let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show, Intrepid PA, Scotty J. Hi, Scotty.
Hey,
no more mystery
afternoon.
Sound calls.
Darn.
I don't solve that. Jim, just got rid of those voices.
I was just starting to enjoy my...
All right. So here's the thing. So we have all now taken the CBS Radio Diversity Test. We have all passed the CBS Radio Diversity Test. Some with a few hiccups. Some of us, you know, passed it. For some of us, we're all done. We're all passed. We have all proved, once and for all, there's now, see, and this is the thing, all kidding aside, there's now actual, tangible, legal proof that we are diverse and tolerant. All of us. It's proven. There's a computerized record proving that we are talented and that we are talented, that we are tolerant.
Did we get a certificate or something we can carry around?
That is true.
I want to frame it.
Well, they never gave us a certificate for this one. They gave us a certificate for the don't take payola one, but not for this one. But there is a computer record somewhere that we are not racists, that we are an embracing people of all ethnicities and cultures here on the Rick Emerson Show. So I'm going to get a couple of these calls, and then we're going to take which of these
start
callers?
Start up with number one, I think.
And let's take hi, Rick Emerson Show. Who's this?
Hey, this is Tom. How are you?
What's up, Tom? How can I help you?
Oh, I can help you. I bet you Sarah Dillon is too young to have perceived much of what the racial assumptions are on the CBS corporate test.
See, that's my belief,
Sarah. So the test is flawed in their assumptions.
No, see, that's what I'm saying. It is, all kidding aside, we were kind of poking fun that Sarah got one of the questions wrong, which I think Tim did as well. But it is true, because a lot of times, and again, I don't mean to single Sarah out, but I think Sarah is young enough and is of a generation. I think a lot changed between my generation and Sarah's, because I know that Sarah's actually made a lot more uneasy by a lot of things like this than I think older people are, because I think it just became somewhere between my generation and Sarah's, a lot of those things became much more unacceptable. Again, I pointed out that growing up, you would hear the word Oriental used sometimes, and nobody thought anything about it. Everybody said it was fine. But at some nondescript point in time, that word just sort of became a thing that you didn't say. So I think Sarah is at a disadvantage taking these tests, because they are targeted. They are targeted at the Ricks and Scotties and Tims of the world. They are not targeted at people in their 20s, I think. So I think you are right about that. I think it is perhaps a bias in an age sense. You are right about that, my friend.
That's our point.
All right. Thank you. And good night.
Good night.
No, good night to you, sir. All right.
So are we going to take this thing?
Like, what?
So what are we going to do? Are we giving it to Scotty? Are we giving it to the listener?
No, we're going
to
take... We're going to have a listener take this. We're going to have a listener take this. All right, let's see. Let's see here. What are we... okay, so we've got which of these... Who here should we take, Scott?
Well, number two kind of made me laugh when he...
Who is somebody here going to take this? See, I don't want somebody taking this as a joke.
Okay.
We've got to find a caller who's going to take this.
Well, then I would take Sid.
All right, that's right here. Hi, Rick Emerson Show. Is this Sid?
It is.
Hi, Sid. How are you today?
Good. Can you kick my ass for diversity?
Kick this ass for a man! I'm not asking, I'm telling now. God, I love that movie. All right, Sid, are you ready to take the CBS Radio Diversity?
I've been sitting here diversing myself, trying to, I'm going to do my best here.
All right, so Scotty, here's the thing. As we take this, we're going to have you here, and so we're going to have you here get your commentary on this test as we go along.
All right.
And so what we're looking for is, I'd like for you, Scotty, now please to be noting as we go along exactly what sections of this test made you feel discriminated against as a white man. Because this was your claim, that you felt that you were being treated unfairly for being a white man.
Oh, good Lord, Scotty.
That's what I'm saying. So I want you to point out exactly at what point here, Scotty, you felt that you were being mistreated.
Well, that was mainly a joke.
Because white...
But...
I don't believe it was. It didn't come off like a joke. All right. Question the first. This is your first question,
all right,
Sid. This is from the CBS Diversity Test. Diversity, Sid, means which of the following? A, race, gender, or religion. B, the uniqueness of individuals. C, affirmative action. D, prejudice and stereotyping.
Well, I'm going to go with B, the uniqueness of individuals.
All right. B, Sarah, is that correct?
That is correct.
That is correct. Well done, sir.
Woo-hoo!
Congratulations. Question the second. In a diverse workplace, A, people always strive to agree with each other. B, workers strive to minimize the differences among themselves. C, everyone avoids confusion by seeking out others who communicate the same way they do. D, people keep an open mind when it comes to accepting that others are different.
Now, I'm not basing this listening to your workplace there on a daily basis.
No,
right?
This is the Rick Emerson. We are not role models.
I'm going to go with D there.
Correct. It is D, sir. Well done, Sid. You are two for two, my friend.
These are hard.
I think that's the one I missed.
What was your answer? What did you say?
Yeah, how do you get half on that?
What was your response?
I thought the one that I missed was a half, and I thought it was number two, but now I'm not sure. Well, what were the...
You sound like Kermit the Frog sometimes.
I really do, don't I?
Okay.
Don't
do that. All right.
I don't hate him because he's green.
Third question. Joan and Susie are working on a project together. To help the company succeed, what should they do? A, agree with each other. B, share the same values. C, respect each other. D, none of the above.
Do they have that boom checka checka music in the background when they're working together, or is it
E, make out?
That was not a G.
What was it? C, the respect each other. No,
each other hot oil rubbed at it.
I'm missing. Was it the third one? What was that?
You respect each other.
Yeah, that one.
Yes, correct, sir. Well done. All right, there you go. E, play a lot of field hockey and then make out. Four. Which of the following is not, I repeat, not true of CBS's cooperations policy on anti-discrimination and non-harassment? Again, which of the following is not true of the CBS policy on anti-discrimination and non-harassment? A, non-compliance is grounds for dismissal. B, it requires us to treat all employees with respect and dignity. C, it gives everyone the right to work in a professional atmosphere. Or D, it is an optional policy that station employees can choose to ignore.
D.
Yes, congratulations. By the way, I love the idea that somehow everybody has the right to work in a professional atmosphere. And, you know, when I work down the hall from, like, Sir Farts-A-Lot and the chuckling joke boy.
And that would not be me.
All right.
We don't know. You're in that little booth all alone, Scotty.
Seriously. You realize I work down the hall from a guy named Fat Boy.
Is this test really a disguised way of doing an intelligence test?
I really don't know.
And figuring if you can't figure out the right answer, you're too dumb to work here. But we can't fire you for that.
And I can't even fathom how much, like, what the hourly wage for the lawyer who created this test was. All right. Question five for the CBS Radio Diversity Test. Which of the following strategies will not, I repeat, not, help you avoid stereotyping? A, try to see individuals, not the groups they belong to. B, don't make assumptions about people. C, listen when people talk. D, limit the amount of time you talk to any one person.
Well, I like D, but that's probably the one they're looking for there.
That is true. Limit the... See, and that is actually my solution. That's actually how I solve all of my problems. I try to limit the time I talk to anybody. 301, I am out of here. Tim doesn't even wait that long. Tim's gone now. Tim's not even here. Scotty, do you have any commentary on this so far?
So far, no.
At any point, do you feel excluded? Do you feel looked down on? Do you feel discriminated against?
Not yet.
All right. Question the sixth. Which of the following statements best describes racial and ethnic stereotypes, Sid?
Okay.
Which of the following statements best describes racial and ethnic stereotypes, according to CBS Radio? A. You can soften them with a qualifying remark such as, no offense, but... They can lead to discriminatory behavior, such as slurs or hate crimes. C, they can often be positive. Or D, they allow people to be seen as individuals. Yes, he's an especially vile white person.
That's Scotty, such a cracker.
No offense.
I believe
no offense. Not that there's anything wrong with
you
that.
You said it in a funny way.
No, the correct term is nilla, sir. He is a nilla.
Let's see, was that the second one?
Which is they can lead to discriminatory behavior.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah.
All right, there. Fantastic. All right. We're almost done here.
Okay.
A positive stereotype. Who here would like to give an example of a positive stereotype?
I'm keeping my mouth shut.
Techniques.
What?
Techniques.
Positive stereotype.
Are you just picking random words?
Banana.
Realistic.
Matt Damon.
Tourists.
What are you talking about?
Stereotypes.
Oh.
Okay, let's stop it. Everybody stop. Let's start again. Scotty, you took this test. You should know what this is. What is a positive stereotype, according to CBS?
A positive stereotype?
What do they mean when they say a positive stereotype?
Like, give an example of a stereotype of a certain like kind of person.
That is positive. Like a positive stereotype.
There is no...
Women are equal to men.
That's not really a stereotype. Is it? There are no positive stereotypes.
It says here, a positive stereotype.
There was a whole bunch of reading.
It was in a booklet. This is a 55-page test. I'm only giving him the quiz part. There was a 55-page booklet that went with this. You passed this test?
Didn't he do this question?
And that's the other thing. You already passed this test.
Here's the problem. I'm confusing that with the negative stereotypes.
Do you know the difference between the words positive and negative?
Yes.
Okay, what is a positive stereotype?
I can think of the ones you're not supposed to say.
Like what? Now, this is just for education.
For instance, this guy here, because of his Oriental descent, is good at computers.
No.
For instance, that's a stereotype.
Well, that's
negative.
That's a positive stereotype.
It's not positive.
It is a positive stereotype.
Well, it's a positive negative.
It's positive.
It's a positive stereotype.
You got it. I gave you one. Just for purposes.
And I can't believe that I'm forced to describe that statement as being positive, but that's exactly how it is. A positive stereotype would be...
I don't see it as positive, but...
As you're not CBS. CBS views that as being a positive stereotype. By a positive stereotype, that means to ascribe positive traits to an entire group or class of people, as opposed to individuals.
Right, so they're not good.
No, well, they're not good, but they are positive.
Got it.
I really can see how you've become confused by this, to be fair. It can be a little troublesome. It would be like saying, a positive stereotype would be something like this. Scotty is a 40-something white man, therefore we can assume that he owns a large, boring house in the suburbs with a huge television and many vehicles. Now, we know that that's not always true.
But it could be positive.
No, it's not, but it's not right. If it has a decent-sized lot.
Yeah.
All right. Now, if they said you have prostate problems, then you might have problems.
That would be negative.
No, stop. Okay. So, here's the question. A positive stereotype is A, generally not offensive. B, acceptable to use at work. C, usually tied into a negative counterpart. D, an easy way to illustrate a point.
Well, I guess I got to go with C.
C, usually tied into a negative counterpart. Yes, well done. Exactly.
Right.
And I swear to God, the example that they give in the handbook is this, of a positive stereotype. The example they give is this. A positive stereotype, which is tied into a negative counterpart. This is useful in case you're trying to get a job in corporate America. The positive stereotype would be to say, for example, that gay males are always fashionable. And or stylish, because the negative counterpart, it assumes that they are shallow and superficial hedonists. That's exactly what the CBS handbook says, by the way. I am not making that up. That is according to the CBS employment handbook.
And it's amazing that you memorized that part.
I don't think they're shallow hedonists.
What are you trying to say? All right, here's question 8. Drew says, now that I have this report finished, I'll give it to Katie to proofread. Women are always good at that kind of thing. What's wrong with this statement? A, nothing, as long as Katie is a good proofreader. B, women are detail-oriented, but not necessarily the best proofreaders. D, nothing, because all women possess the skills to be good proofreaders. Or D, it's based on the stereotypical assumption that women are always good at proofreading. Sir?
Didn't you have two D's there in your list?
That's because I'm not good at proofreading. It was written by a man. Come on, that's funny. That's an instant callback.
The last one.
Yes,
there.
Well done, sir. Fantastic. All right. And finally, this... Okay, now here's the thing. This is the question that threw off me and Tim... and Sarah.
Hey.
This is the... Now, Scott,
it's not the Chinese waiter, is it?
No. But none of us ever got that one either. I still don't know what all Chinese waiters are.
I think someone called in and said what they thought it was.
Which was what?
I think...
Well, we all did, but...
But what was it?
I don't think you ever decided.
Yeah, I can't remember.
We should vote right now.
Actually, I do remember, but I'm not going to say it.
Well, no, but I mean, but what was the...
No, somebody called in and said, I think, rude.
But I've never heard that Chinese waiters were rude.
I've never had a problem with
either.
No, they've all been very courteous to me. Or is that a positive? Now I don't even know. Now I don't even know if I can say that all the Chinese waiters have been polite to me.
No, because there's a negative stereotype attached to
that's
that.
That's right.
Which means since if you see another waiter of a different ethnicity, say,
that
for example,
that they're not polite.
Yes, if you have a Russian waiter and you're saying how Chinese waiters are polite, you're saying that the Russian waiter's rude. This makes no sense.
Yeah, by saying all Chinese waiters, just that statement right there is a negative. Because you're saying
no, it's a positive.
All,
but it
no, that's
makes
a positive.
It
negative.
It's this
a positive.
Is hard. Yeah.
That's why I got confused. And here's the last question.
I honestly don't even know whether I'm racist now. I swear to God, I have no
you're
idea.
Not racist.
Just be polite when you go out to eat.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. Final question. This is the one that 75% of the Rick Emerson show either got wrong or had to struggle with.
Okay.
Final question from the CBS Radio Diversity in the Workplace test, which we had to pass as a condition of our employment. Which of the following is the best way for the media to use the power of programming? A, challenge audiences to change their thinking. B, encourage audiences to think like radio DJs. Don't laugh.
Okay.
C, reinforce beliefs that people already have about certain groups. Or D, avoid discussing controversial subjects.
What was A again?
Challenge audiences to change their thinking.
And B was...
encourage audiences to think like radio DJs.
Oh,
number C was reinforce beliefs that people have about certain groups. And D, avoid discussing controversial topics.
Well, I would think it's A, but I'm going to guess since you missed all that, it's probably D.
See?
That's what
that,
I guess.
We all missed it.
Now
it,
A,
it is, and Sarah missed it twice.
Did you miss that, Tim?
No. I thought you did. I thought you missed the final question. Maybe not.
I missed one in the middle.
I certainly, but I got it right, but it was a stone guess. I absolutely had to guess. Because, I just guessed because I didn't know. So it was like I knew it wasn't the middle two. But see, Sarah got that one wrong, and I very nearly got it wrong.
Well, because I was thinking it's from corporate, so I didn't think that we should challenge people's ideas.
Well, because that doesn't... here's the thing, and I'm just speaking honestly now. To me, that just doesn't make any sense, because what if the audience is very inclusive and tolerant? Does that mean I'm supposed to challenge that idea?
Right, but on the flip side, I think what they're trying to say is, the open arms thing, like, listen, carefully to...
But it says that I'm supposed to change the audience, I'm supposed to challenge the audience to change their thinking. So if the audience...
Apparently, they're thinking wrong.
The weird thing about that question is it automatically assumes that I'm, like, way better of a person than most of the people in the audience, which I think we all know isn't the case. I mean, that automatically assumes that we here on the show are better people than the listeners are. As Bruce Agler noted, by the way, nowhere on this final question does it contain the real answer, which is do whatever is necessary to make massive amounts of money for the company. Do whatever is possible to increase the financial status and the gross revenue for the radio station.
I would think they would want to have one that said, create a positive model or examples or something.
Well, I think we all know that's not true. I think we all know that that's setting a standard that no one on the show can possibly live up to.
Hey, look, Sarah didn't want to even answer the Chinese waiter question, so apparently that diversity training's working for someone.
Apparently. Maybe, yes. If by working you mean be terrified to see what's on your mind.
Exactly.
Second and third and fourth guess yourself every time anybody asks you a question. Try to make your language as blunt or as bland and denuded as possible. All right. Thank you, sir. Congratulations. You have failed the test. You can never work for CBS.
When do I get the car?
No. All right. Thank you. That's Sid. That's Sid on the Rick Emerson Show. There you go. There you go. I feel better now.
I do, too. I feel...
See, the control group failed the test, too.
Yeah.
All right, there you go. 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. We come back after this. Tim Riley at the Ministry of Truth, Likas, the 3, Donna Micah, 7. You stay there. It's the Rick Emerson Show. Here's Veruca Salt. Rick Emerson Show live from Portland. It's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. All right. And did you hear the resolution of the mystery sound?
I didn't. I was in the new newsroom, which doesn't have a monitor.
That's fantastic.
But you still don't know?
All this stuff, like 2 hours. You still don't know. Oh, it's just tempting to never tell you. Ladies and gentlemen.
Yes.
Would you like to know?
I do. Yes.
Well, let's see if I can set it up in a way that will set it, give it some context. I can't, because I don't remember how the guy used to narrate. It's whenever they would go to, and I mean this sound, is from... it's whenever they would go to the villain's lair on Batman.
Like, I thought somebody said Batman.
No, because I would have said that was correct.
Didn't I say Batman?
No,
but
no,
my choices.
There's the Green Hornet. I think that was your only guess. I think you guessed Batman, and I think you or the Green Hornet, and you guessed something else. You guessed
My Favorite Martian.
My Favorite Martian. No, it is in
that
fact.
That does sound like My Favorite Martian.
Yeah, but it is in fact from Batman. It's like whenever they would cut to like the Joker or to like the Riddler or whatever, it is hiding in his lair, plotting against the Caped Crusader.
Is that taken from an album? Yes, it's scratchy.
It sounds that way, doesn't it? I was actually wondering about that. It does sound like it has some sort of vinyl popping at the end of it. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to begin.
And now, from the Ministry of Truth, this is Tim Riley.
A suspect has been arrested in a Clackamas bank robbery. This fellow robbed the Bank of America, 82nd and Johnson Creek Boulevard in Clackamas, around 1:30 this afternoon. It ruined his plans to use the robbery money to go to the dress barn. Meanwhile, the judge has issued a new warrant for the arrest of a local man accused of wine thievery. They say Sevavach Kong Cocoon has been stealing wine from the local Fred Meyer, Albertsons, and Safeway stores in Hillsboro.
Oh, really?
He loads up 20 bottles of wine into paper grocery sacks and has his 9-year-old daughter push the shopping cart out of the store without paying. Apparently, he's been doing this all over the place, and there's a warrant for his arrest, so be on the lookout for Sevavach Kong Cocoon and his daughter, the wine thief. Well, taking a break from the Austin Powers movie might have been the best thing Mike Myers ever did. Now there's a bit of interest in the franchise again, and Myers would like to do another sequel. Now he's promoting Shrek the Third, and he revealed his intentions in the on the sci-fi website. He says, I'm figuring out that the story will have to be taken from the point of Dr. Evil. It'll be powered by Dr. Evil's point of view. It'll be the first of a trilogy. Well, I'm just joking. I haven't figured it out yet. Who knows?
I was going to say, that's what we need. By the way, this is Scotty is saying that there's some news just in. Do you have this, Tim, that apparently they've... I don't understand what this means, Scotty. Melamine? Melomany? What is this word?
Melanoma?
Pet food melamine manager detained.
What does that mean, Scotty?
I don't know. Scotty, I hate to do this again.
Scotty J, this is David Cassidy. You know what else to say, except...
He's just here.
I know, but I can't... You try to read his weird pigeon English on the screen. I swear to God, he types by just banging his face into the keys sometimes. What are you talking about?
I used a pen in my mouth to peck at the keys.
Not funny. Anyways, what are you talking about?
I was just going to have you kind of get his attention... That,
if only I knew what you were talking about. What
I believe it's melamine, right?
Realize I don't know what you're talking about.
Didn't they put
about.
That in? Wasn't that in the pet food? Wasn't that the whole deal? And they got this manager now or something that they were recalling
you're
all the
pets? You're asking me? I don't know.
Okay, well, I thought there was...
I suppose it's possible, Scotty.
I believe there was... Remember all the recalls on the pet food recently?
Yes.
I believe it's because there was melamine in the pet food.
Okay, let's stop for a second.
What is melamine?
I don't know the answer. I think it's a plastic. What? Where did you hear this?
Well, CNN.
Where are you hearing CNN?
Down the hall.
Oh, really? Okay. And so it says that they've detained...
The melamine man, a manager of the... that's what they said.
He's like the muffin man?
Yeah.
So they've detained somebody.
I'll look
somebody.
Into it some more in the next few seconds.
Well, let's see if I have anything on this, Scotty.
It looks like they've detained somebody in this pet food poisoning business.
If I'm correct.
All right.
That's the real sad part.
Okay, I'll go look it up.
All right.
So there are other headlines here. Thief made woman 83 smoke crack.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was a fun night.
At least she was happy for a while.
Let's see here.
Okay.
Japanese find sleep and shelter in cyber cafes. that's about it.
No, there's
celebrity one. Restauranter abused his staff.
No, I don't see anything about this.
I'm looking that
for,
is.
I'm looking for the pet food
chow.
I don't see anything.
Well, let's forget that whole thing. It's not important anyway.
Let's pretend that whole unpleasant 2-minute interruption never happened. Yeah. Here's Tim Riley.
And that's about it for today. I think we've heard enough news, don't you?
Well, I suppose.
Yeah, I guess.
We'll be back at 4, 5, 6, and 7 with the latest news.
That's okay. All right.
From around the corner and around the world, where the news never sleeps.
I guess we don't need any more news.
No, you don't.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, Tim Riley. Always armed with a mouthful of sass. Tim Riley, ladies and gentlemen, will be back at 4 o'clock today, as well as at the top of the hour, all the way through Tom Likas. All right, it's 503-733-2970. You can also email if you like. It's rick@rickemerson.com. We'll take his call, and then we'll break, and we'll come back and...
Yeah, I didn't call about melamine, but melamine is like that cheap white plastic they put inside a cabinet.
Right, yeah, and that's apparently it's like a formica-type thing, and then they found it inside some of the pets. Yeah.
The rationale behind finding that stuff, what it is if you mix that stuff in, if you have a low-protein count food,
yeah,
you can throw in melamine, and it'll artificially boost the numbers.
All right.
So it's a way of upgrading cheaper goods, which is why we're getting it from China. And
so I guess they maybe arrested some guy who did that. All right, what's your deal, sir?
Oh, the reason I called is you were talking about diversity and about Sarah not understanding what your generation grew up with. I like to listen to internet radio,
yes,
the old detective shows from the 40s and the 50s.
Right.
You talk about, I mean, you really want to understand what made Grandpa and Grandma so bigoted and stuff like that. You listen to that stuff, it'll curl your toes kind of stuff.
Tim had, and this is, I believe, was a CBS radio product. Tim was playing about 10 days ago, not to interrupt, but Tim was playing about 10 days ago an old Superman serial. And we were actually playing it for a totally different reason. We were playing it because the guy who is the voice of Superman,
right,
vocally sounds very similar to our old program director, Bruce Hagler. And
right.
So Tim's like, hey, you got to hear this guy who sounds like Bruce Hagler. And he plays it, and I swear to God, as part of the script, one of the caricatures in this Superman radio serial was talking about, and I'm quoting now, this is what the serial said, the Superman radio serial.
Yes.
One of the characters was referring to, quote, Orientals having a fear of the telephone, which, and this is again the character, and he said, quote, it's a superstition that can't even be schooled out of them. And this was a mainstream radio program that was broadcast in America. I mean, it was just unbelievable.
It was one show after another. That was the common school of thought. It doesn't matter what the minority was. It just came out in spades and stuff.
You talk to grandparents, and even actually, my mom is actually old enough that she, you know, will say things occasionally. You can tell she has no notion that they're just not supposed to be said. God, I mean, and my grandparents were the worst. My grandparents were just the most bigoted bastards on earth.
I know.
God damn, my grandparents were terrible people. I remember this is what a prize my family was. And my grandfather at one point who lived in Malala, which is, you know, it's like education gets there last. That's like the last stop on the smart bus. It's like by the time they got there, the smart had been given out in all the other towns. There was just nothing left to do there.
Right.
Their school books are basically just pamphlets. And
right.
So I remember my grandfather at one point was really old. This is about 15 years ago. He was like 85 years old, just a bastard, and just an ornery jerk. And you know, he had to have an assistant, like a nurse, because he couldn't get around, couldn't get to the bathroom, had to have somebody help him to the toilet and back. And, and I remember my mom at one point rustled up, like, some local nurse, who's like, hey, whatever her name was. It was like Octaviana or whatever her name was. It was Octaviana. She's a Latin woman. She was going to help you out around the house. And my grandfather pulling her aside, I swear to God, my grandfather pulling her aside and going, you know, I'd prefer not to have someone like that because... You know, no, this is my grandfather's reasoning.
They're going to steal the
silver. That's exactly what he said. And, you know, his reasoning, he goes, I don't want to have that woman because, you know, stealing is in their culture. That was my grandfather. So there you go. So you're right. It is old people. So that's the kind of prizes that made up my family.
So are you and I of the same mindset, but yet we're just a few generations after that because we still really enjoy Peter Sellers movies?
I just enjoy Peter Sellers. I just enjoy seeing guys fight and crash through walls.
But there's really horrible stereotypes. But it's just like you just can't, you know, it's like it's wrong. But damn, that's funny.
On that note, sir, we'll take a break. Thank you, my friend. There you go. The Rick Emerson Show. We'll wrap things after this. Don't go anywhere. Oh, I wish you'd said it on the air. Sarah, I'm totally ghetto.
Oh, you're not supposed to say that, Rick Emerson.
Who says? No, I haven't been told not to say that.
You will soon enough.
There'll be a memo within a month. I guarantee you. You mark my words. I guarantee you, as my brother used to say. There'll be a memo in like a month telling us not to refer to things as ghetto. Hey, by the way, I'd just like to,
just kick my ass, okay? Kick this ass for a man, that's all. Kick my ass. No. Enjoy. But come on. I'm not asking him. Tell him this. Kick my ass.
Kick my ass for a man. That's fantastic.
We're kind of close here.
Yeah. Rick Emerson Show produced today and every day by the lovely and talented Sarah X. Dillon for AM 970 Solid State Radio in the newsroom. Tim Riley, the gatekeepers, Dave Zinn. Our intrepid PA is Scotty J. My apologies to Dennis Pitzenberger, who got bumped today. We'll get him later on in the week. We do want to thank CNN Radio correspondents Lisa Goddard and Jim Roop. Join us tomorrow when I think Dennis Pitzenberger will be stepping into the studio with us. Tom Likas next. Donna Mike at 7. Stephanie Miller tomorrow at 6 a.m. Dennis Miller at 8 a.m. We're back in 20 hours. As always, my friends, thank you for listening. Don't let the bastards grind you down, and do try to help the retarded. We'll see you tomorrow. Be safe. Bye. Kick this ass for a man!